Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Hopefully you guys are hearing this. If you guys can just let me know, I've got Mom and Elizabeth ready at the helm. So let's see here. Mom has her. Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you beautifully.
Oh, good. Wonderful. I don't know what happened that one time. Anyway, and there's Elizabeth. Let's bring her in.
Hi, Elizabeth. Hey, guys. Happy Sunday.
Hello, happy Sunday.
How are we? You sound very good. Technical difficulties come and go, but you sound fantastic.
Oh, yay.
So what are we doing? What are we doing today? Good. Let's do something different than everyone else is doing. Let's be positive.
I think we're gonna reserve the positivity for the second hour of the show and the good news, you know, and then gonna harness it. But in the meantime, I would like to talk about number one, that you know, the fact that the COVID origins are coming out, and it's looking more and more like that did come from a lab instead of the wet market. And I think this is something, I know we talked about this last week, but there's one thing that I kind of forgot to say. But, you know, when we talk about how, okay, people say we're racist, right, for saying that it's the, you know, that this came from a Chinese virology lab, and, you know, and was racist for saying that it's the China virus and all of these things, and how could you be so racist, right? And it's like,
part of it?
We did. But the biggest thing here, the biggest point that I want to get across is that they tried to blame the food supply of some of the poorest people in the world instead of owning up to what they already knew. And to me, it's like that same kind of thing that, you know, everything that they accuse us of, they are doing. But that's a really big one. You know, you can't, that's like beyond criminal to blame the food supply of some of the poorest people in the world while simultaneously calling anybody who questions the official narrative a racist. And so that's something that I think kind of goes over some heads.
You know, that is their farmer's market. They made them sound like they were just filthy peasants who endangered the whole world with their terrible food, with no refrigeration. I forgot about that. There's so many things happen that those little things are like,
they closed
a nothing burger.
Those markets down, and the Chinese people starved because of it.
Yes, but we're the racists. But we're the racists.
Yes, but we're the racists. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So now what's going on is now it's like almost like hindsight, right? And everybody's like, well, we didn't really know that any of this stuff was going to happen. And now people are actually starting to talk about things like heart attacks in an age group where virtually no heart attacks happened in young people. And, and of course, like when the mainstream media talks about these kinds of things, they go they go over pretty much anything except for the vaccine. It couldn't possibly be the vaccine, you know, because they're safe and effective and all of these things. And it's like, and one of the videos, audios I want to play today is of Russell Brand covering this quote unquote debate by, I believe it was CBS, but he'll say it. Basically that they're like, oh yeah, it could have been, young people didn't wear masks as much as old people did. It's got to be the COVID virus that was causing it. And they were way later in the queue to get their vaccine than the others. And, you know, all of these things, you know, that people stopped going to the gym, you know, people were more stressed out, all of these things, except for the vaccine. It can't be the vaccine. And I'm waiting for the day when we actually get to start saying those things, when the talking heads are going to start saying these things, because it can't be too far off now.
It will happen soon.
I think so.
Yeah.
So So that's what I've got for this week. I've got two clips, one of Russell Brand talking about this debate, quote-unquote debate, that these talking heads were having. And the other one is a Jimmy Dore clip about the Woody Harrelson's SNL clip, right? So I'd like to play both of those at some point in the show. But you, I mean, anything else you guys want to talk about before we jump in, or should we just jump right on in?
Let's get it over with.
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's do it and see where the conversation goes.
Okay. I could talk about how I, for the first time, broke 100 in bowling yesterday, but I don't think that's more exciting than Russell Brand.
Well, and I have some very fast, if you guys want to hear it just before we listen to Russell Brand, I found the stash spot. Do you remember last week when I started talking about chicken eggs and people not being able to, saying their hens weren't producing, and you're like, Danielle said, she called good money and said, go looking for the stash spot. Well, I really thought I had it covered because I'm a detective, and so are my grandchildren, Aiden and Ava, the most beautiful children in the world. My daughter knows where to look as well, but nobody found this spot, and I found 17 eggs in there now. And
it's so
little.
Cool.
It's
so cool.
So
I love it.
Cool that I throw them away.
Why? What?
Because I have no idea how long they've been there.
It's true. Yeah, that's the thing about nests.
Wah, wah, wah. I wish we had the saxophone bone nose right now. Yeah.
Oh, well.
So when you find a stash spot, you have to throw them away because there's no telling how long they've been there. Big sigh.
Don't they?
Sad.
They don't sit on them and like a regular bird until they're.
No. Hold on.
Yes.
Catch. Better late than never.
It's okay. Thank you for doing that. I feel
like
better
it.
Now.
I like it. It's 1950s game shows. I love it.
So, Elizabeth, yes, she does sit on them. As a matter of fact, we use the word going broody, but there's no rooster. So, and who knows how long she's been laying up there. They could be, 2 weeks old, or they could be 8 weeks old or 10 weeks old, or who freaking knows how old they are. So you have to throw them away. And it's very sad. Anyway,
I'm trying to figure out where is that? Where, I mean, what spot in the coop is that?
So there's the big coop, and then right next to it is model coop. Between those, right, where the little red nesting box is, that little house.
Yeah.
So there's a piece of tarp, and she got back up in there and found herself a little dry, quiet spot, and she laid eggs pretty much daily, it looks like, for who knows how long and how long ago.
Here. I'll share in our group chat, a picture that my mom sent.
That picture of a fail.
Yeah, it's a fail right there. Big, huge fail.
Just a minute, Nala.
Hi, Nala.
She's got her ball, and she's waiting for me to throw it. And I can't reach my stick, the one that I used to grab it. So, got the look. Anyway, so you're posting the picture in the chat. Okay, well, so, Elizabeth, I wanted to ask you how you felt about a little bit of a retrospective
A retro what?
Do you remember a retrospective?
Back it up a little bit. A retro something?
Retrospective.
Okay, gotcha.
Retrospective. Yeah, just a little bit of a look backwards. Because do you remember when in March of 2020 or like February of 2020, where they came out with a prediction from a think tank in the UK. There was a guy named David Mann, M-A-N-N, and they said that if we didn't do a whole bunch of stuff, that 40 or 50 million people were going to die. Do you remember that?
I don't, because I wasn't partaking in this. I was like, I was on vacation. It was so cool. We didn't. It was like a permanent snow day, and I was de-stressing. It was a welcome.
Well, I
shut down
on that.
So,
but yes.
Until I saw everyone be crazy. I was like, oh no, it's nothing to worry about, guys. But they went into full blown craziness. So I forgot about that. But I know that I was just talking with somebody, and they were like, and you remember that most of us were supposed to have been dead already from the pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They kind of like
fizzled
out.
I think I should have been dead. I should have died three times by now.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. And it was like,
yeah,
no. They had to wait until the cure for the disease came out. That's when we start to die.
Right.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
But I will tell you, that this guy's predictions are the reason why we shut the country down and why worldwide.
Now, who was he? How did he have so much clout?
And I have the information up. So today, I called Danielle and I said, look, I'd like to go back and take a look at that stuff, because obviously there's 9/10 of it, probably all 100% of it by this time has been proven wrong. And so I wanted to go back to the very beginning and when they scared the shit out of us, because there is new information. Some stuff came up today where they have text messages of UK health ministers asking each other when they should release the new variant. We need to scare the pants off of them, quote, end quote, when should we release the new variant. So I want to go back. Go ahead.
Let's do that. Can I ask you a quick, though? I was really encouraged once I went back into society, went back to work, at how many people never bought this at all. They saw through the bullshit. How many people, did anybody for a second get scared? That we know?
I was scared for about 2 weeks.
Danielle and I did for about 2 weeks. And then we started digging the information they were saying boo with. And this is some of the information that we got to.
Yeah.
And
the only time I got scared was when I watched CNN. I would get panic attacks. And if I stopped watching it, I was okay.
Well, my favorite president was concerned, okay? I watched Trump and fucking Fauci, sorry for cussing, back then, and Deborah Birx. And then the day came, if you'll remember, Danielle, where we caught what she said, which was with COVID or from COVID.
Yes.
We were already suspecting that there was an issue, that they were lying to us. And then when she said that, I was like, that's it. And there were other indicators, as you said, Elizabeth, for about 2 weeks, because they scared the pants off of us, literally. They scared us to death.
Do you remember on C-SPAN? C-SPAN was, everyone was doing an intense job. But before they cut off the callers, they started censoring callers into the C-SPAN panel show.
I remember.
And they had a caller that called in when they had the big kahuna, and it was a woman from the World Health Organization, I believe, or our CDC. And she looked at everybody with a smile, because the caller asked, is there anything we could do to help this? There's nothing we could do to help ourselves. And he talked about doing a neti pot, doing like a nasal spray, some sort of sinus cleanse, and she looked like, oh my God, how did he figure this out? And she's like, absolutely, there's nothing we can do. But it was like, it was as simple as that. It's an aerosol attack. We could have helped ourselves if they had been like added that to the. But she acted like, how did they figure this out? And when I saw the look on her face and her reaction, I was like, this is complete fucking bullshit. And that solidified it for me. And that was really in the very early beginnings of this.
So that's why I wanted to go back and and kind of remind everybody of what happened. So Danielle, do you want me to do that now, or do you want to play your clips first?
Let's play the clips first, just so that, you know, because you've got some callers that are going to listen in for your good news. There is actually a caller now, looks like a Skype number, so hello to the listener. But let's do the clip now. I'm going to start with the Russell Brand clip. I do have it already up in the chat for those who want to follow along. But let's see here. I'm pulling up now.
Carla, did you see the retro video that they put out that laid out exactly like the fear and then the riots and the desegregation, the police and the election? And it was brilliant because so much has happened in between the 3 years. They've just jam-packed it with nonsense that it's kind of hard to think exactly what the steps were and how quickly this escalated into a total takedown of our society and a lot of freedom.
Is that what you saw?
That was great. I love that. Yep, that was really good. Cool.
I'm going to start there.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm ready for the clip. Oh, if you're ready, and then we'll go, okay?
Okay, cool. So this is Russell Brand. Title of the video is It's Starting to Come Out. So here we go. 3, 2, 1.
A new study shows that heart attack deaths increased by 30% during the pandemic. And the only variable during that time was, of course, coronavirus itself. I mean, I can't think of any other variables, and neither can the mainstream media, interestingly. But are there any other variables? Hello there, you 6 million awakening wonders. Thanks for joining me on this voyage to truth and freedom. And God knows we're going to have to find it together because we live within a set of systems with an agenda to prevent us from realizing the truth. Together, though, we will do it. Turn on the notification bell and subscribe to the channel right now. We make this content every day, and I want you to see it all. The mainstream media content is prioritized on this platform, so you will get to see fascinating stories like the one we're discussing today, where CBS discuss the potential causes for the sudden, sharp, frightening rise of heart attack deaths across the pandemic. Now, what's fascinating about this interview is that things that never get mentioned as potential variables are lockdowns and obesity and health, the vaccines and potential impact of vaccines, which you know by now are being looked at in some quarters, and I certainly have no opinion on what those studies will reveal, and masks and other behavioral variables and alterations that may have been significant. Today, what we're discussing is the way that the mainstream media reports on this, because we can then use that to analyze the way they report on other subjects, whether they consciously or unconsciously serve a broader agenda, and the need for us to have our own channels, our own media, our own communication, so that we can reach truth together, occasionally disagreeing with one another. Let me know what you think in the chat and the comments. Let me know what you think about this video. Give it a like, share it around. Let's keep our heads above water. Now let's get into this mainstream media skullduggery.
Heart attack deaths have become more common across all age groups since the start of the coronavirus pandemic.
But a recent study found that young people are actually most at risk in this case. According to Cedars-Sinai Hospital, the number of heart attack deaths among 25 to 44-year-olds in the U.S. over the first 2 years of the pandemic was 30% higher than predicted.
Now, if you've been following this channel for a while, and if this is a conversation that interests you, you'll be familiar with some of this kind of information because you will have heard it from foreboden, forbidden, unsanctioned sources. This conversation has been going on for a while, pericarditis, myocarditis. You'll be familiar with these kind of conversations. But of course, YouTube has very particular guidelines around this subject, so I have to be very particular. And this is precisely the reason that we're on the platform Rumble right now, so that we can communicate openly, so we can hear more diversity of views, stronger opinions against establishment interests. So immediately what they're discussing is the peculiar rise of heart attacks in people aged between 25 and 44. Now, is there anything that could have contributed to this? And of course, coronavirus itself could have contributed to it. It'd be unscientific to reach a conclusion without doing the studies, without reading the data, without looking at the evidence, wouldn't it? So never do that.
Dr. Gander, thank you for being here. What stood out to you in this study?
I think the fact that you're seeing such a big increase specifically in the youngest age group, so the 25 to 44-year-olds, you saw this 30% increase in the risk of death from heart attack. And that really is quite striking. That's not a group, an age group, in which you normally see heart attacks, much less dying from a heart attack.
Now, that is actually a startling statistic. People who don't normally really get heart attacks have seen a significant increase in heart attacks. That warrants rigorous scientific study. That in itself is a type of epidemic, a type of pandemic. It's such a sharp, sudden and unexpected rise that you've got to look at that. Is there something in the water? Is there some new anomalous contaminant that's affecting people? Let's look at everything that's changed in that period and question, interrogate, because right, we follow the science, don't we? So let's interrogate what it could be. Can you think of anything that's been going on during that period that could be causing young people to have a sudden increase in heart attacks? And stay within the guidelines while you're thinking about it.
To do a study like this, you look at the years prior to the pandemic and the typical rate of heart attack death in that age group, and then you see it increase and you wonder, what's the new variable? And so the pandemic is that new variable?
The pandemic, because they know they're venturing into conspiracy theory territory here. Managing the information, I would say, is a type of misinformation, malinformation, disinformation. I can't remember which one of Donald Duck's nephews this particular one is, but it is controlling the way that we receive it.
That's right. So these researchers looked at 10 years of data across the U.S., all the death certificates that get filed with the CDC, that data. And so what they saw is prior to the pandemic, heart attack deaths were actually dropping. And then that trend reverses, and you see those deaths go up, especially among that youngest age group during the pandemic.
Heart attack deaths were going down and down and down like that. And then they went up and up and up, forming a kind of a sharp spike. There's some sort of sharp spike seems to be connected to these heart attacks.
Do we know why younger people might be more at risk? Or?
We don't know for sure.
Okay, so we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure, perhaps because of the way science works. Perhaps, for example, people aren't doing enough clinical trials in certain particular areas that might lead to particularly unprofitable conclusions or even litigious conclusions. Sorry, no, there was an indemnity thing. So there is going to be no litigious conclusions drawn. If the mainstream media are able to freely admit that they don't know, then surely in these kind of media spaces, we ought to be able to freely discuss the various possibilities when it comes to a radical increase in heart attacks among young people. Let me know what you think in the chat or the comments.
And in fact, these death certificates are probably not even capturing the fact that they might have had COVID.
Oh, so the death certificates might not say that they've had COVID. Yeah, because there was a real trend of not putting COVID on death certificates during the pandemic. Oh, there was all sorts of opportunities to get COVID on that death certificate and just people weren't taking them. But at least we're acknowledging that there is the possibility of inaccuracy around death certificates. Dr. Liana Wen was criticized for admitting that the medical community is overcounting the amount of COVID deaths and hospitalizations. She writes, are these Americans dying from COVID or with COVID? Another trope from the world of conspiracy enters the mainstream, the from or with conspiracy. Wen noted how people with gunshot wounds or other serious illnesses often test positive for the virus and wrote, if these patients die, COVID might get added to their death certificate along with the other diagnoses, but the coronavirus was not the primary contributor to their death and often played no role at all. So sometimes COVID was put on people's death certificates when they've been shot. The main news again, JFK died from with COVID because he was shot by Lee Harvey Oswald. We'll show you the files in 50 years or so. We'll get to the bottom of this.
They're really just saying, did you die from a heart attack or not? What we do know, however, is that younger people were less likely to protect themselves against COVID than older people, less likely to mask, less likely to take other mitigation measures.
Get this mask on before you have a heart attack!
And they were also farther back in line to get vaccinated.
Run to the front of that line! You might get a heart attack! Don't run too fast. That also might give you a heart attack.
So they were not protected with vaccination until later in the pandemic.
Is there anything else that might have caused the heart attack? Anything. Masks made little to no difference to COVID or death rates, according to one of the most comprehensive meta-analyses of face coverings. So it could be a little different, or it could be. This research carried out by the Cochrane Institute, the gold standard of evidence-based reviews, gold, more like tinfoil, Ha, standard, your conspiracy theorists, looked at 78 global studies involving, did they do enough people though? 1 million people.
Oh.
The researchers said harms caused by masks, including hampering children's schooling, were poorly measured in the studies, meaning any small benefit on infection rates may be outweighed. Professor Francois Ballou, a professor of computational biology at University College London, who was not part of the analysis, said it showed that the benefit of wearing masks is at best small. That's the very best.
So basically, I mean, you could have had perhaps a mild infection, and of course this is all hypothetical.
They have to keep saying this is conjecture, this is hypothesis, this is just an idea, because they don't know is there a real answer.
But then there might have been a lingering heart situation, heart disease.
Right, so COVID causes inflammation of the blood vessels as well as other parts of the body and also blood clots.
Maybe COVID causes blood clots. What else causes, is there anything else that causes blood clots? It's probably COVID. Let's follow that science. And this is from Alex Jones at InfoWars. I mean, sorry, did I say Alex Jones at InfoWars? I meant Reuters. This happened in May 2022. The US health regulator said on Thursday it was limiting the use of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine for adults due to the risk of a rare blood clotting syndrome. Okay.
And what we think is that a COVID infection may have actually accelerated the process of developing heart disease, what we call coronary artery disease, and so therefore accelerated when somebody might have had a heart attack and died from a heart attack.
You know, but COVID also changes how much you can get out to an exercise class, how often you see friends.
This is brilliant. What this item on the news should be called is ways in which we can say that COVID might have caused a 30% increase in heart attack deaths without really acknowledging that the response to COVID might have caused a 30% increase in heart attack deaths. Yeah, because you got COVID. Oh, so much COVID. Can't get down to the gym. Heart attack. That's what they're saying. In a way, they should be applauded here because they're acknowledging that exercise and your health and your diet are all factors in your general well-being. Oh, maybe then you've got COVID, so, you know, you can't do your regular regimen of push-ups and pull-ups and running in the park, so also you probably just go and lay down and have a heart attack. Do you know what else stops people doing exercise? Being locked in their house! And this is by James O'Keefe from Project Veritas. Sorry, did I say James O'Keefe from Project Veritas? I meant The Telegraph. The pandemic may have pushed millions more people into obesity, according to emerging data from around the world. Young people have been particularly badly affected, research from countries including the United States, China, and Europe suggests. In one US study, for example, the number of overweight, obese young people jumped by more in just 1 year of the pandemic than it did over the previous two decades. Oh my God, it just made us so much more unhealthy. The implications of more obesity in young people is going to translate over decades into more diabetes, more heart disease, more profits for the pharmaceutical industry, more of all the other complications of obesity, which is going to impact people's lives in a negative way, said Professor John Wilding, president of the World Obesity Federation. I hope those bloody lockdowns were worth it. I hope they had a really significant effect. COVID lockdown prevented only 0.2% of deaths in the first wave. Researchers say the cost of lockdown to society far outweighed the benefits. And that's especially difficult because everyone puts so much weight on. So the scales were really tipped.
Maybe your level of activity overall, your stress,
yeah.
Whether you see your doctor.
Oh, I can't see my doctor. Oh, I'm stressed. Any other reasons? Surely you're doing a debate on CBS News. You've got an epidemiologist. Surely you're going to discuss all the variables. The lockdowns, the vaccines. Come on, let's go for all of them.
How are they ruling out or accounting for these other lifestyle changes?
Lifestyle.
We don't know, so you can't really assess that just from looking at death certificates.
Once again, we don't know.
Again, all we can say is, how old were they? Did they die from a heart attack?
But how would you not, at this point, even be a little bit curious? Have they not learned anything from this whole process about what it does when you control information? Now that we know that when they were discussing the origins of the virus, they were discussing, when I say they, I mean Fauci, I mean the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, I mean the WHO, I mean the British response team to the pandemic, were all discussing it could be bioengineered, it could be a lab leak, it could be natural origin. Guess which one they settled on? Natural origin, because both of those two implicate the industries that have emerged around science.
But, you know, some of the factors you're mentioning could certainly have played a role. We also know healthcare facilities were really overwhelmed during the pandemic.
Overwhelmed, were they? You mean those for-profit health facilities that sacked thousands of nurses for refusing to get the vaccines.
So was it that somebody had a heart attack and then was less likely to survive because the healthcare facility was overwhelmed?
Couldn't get there on time. Well, thank you so much.
And I think we've covered every single angle of the entire debate except for anything that might affect the interests of powerful institutions and our advertisers.
Something new to go and see your doctor and check yourself about. Thank you.
Thank you.
But that's the conclusion. Go and see your doctor and check yourself about. So they got through the whole report without mentioning lockdowns or vaccines, which it would seem ought be part of any reasonable debate and exploration into what has caused this 30% spike in heart disease. What do you reckon? Let me know in the chat, let me know in the comments. Here's some unconnected stories from Politico, which I'm sure have no bearing on this debate and definitely shouldn't have been included in that very thorough investigation undertaken by those brilliant people just then. The CDC and FDA announced recently that their surveillance system flagged a possible link between the new Pfizer-BioNTech bivalent COVID-19 vaccine and strokes in people aged 65 and over, but said they were continuing to recommend the shots anyway.
Okay.
Data has shown that an elevated risk of myocarditis and pericarditis, inflammation of the heart, muscle and membrane respectively, after the second mRNA vaccine dose among males ages 12 to 39, with those in their late teens and 20s most affected. Elevated risk of myocarditis and pericarditis, 12 to 39 years of age. 30% increase of deaths by heart attack in young people. Wait, let me just do this again. Wait, I think I can do this. Elevated risk of myocarditis and pericarditis, that's inflammation of the heart, increase heart attacks in young people. There's something there. Could there be a connection, maybe? Not when you're sponsored by Pfizer, baby.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Well, anyway, the whole thing was necessary because natural immunity simply wasn't an option. That much we know for sure. They were very clear about that. They said that these measures are much more effective than natural immunity.
In today's Daily Health, there's a new study that looks at our body's immunity after getting COVID.
In today's Daily Health, another fudged admission. Let's see if we can kind of just blur the lines of how and when that happened without us losing all of our credibility.
Yeah, it finds the immunity that naturally builds up in our bodies after a COVID-19 infection.
Yeah, well, natural immunity. I heard about that, I think, from conspiracy theorists.
Is as protective as the two doses of the mRNA vaccine.
Oh, so natural immunity. So the vaccine passports then? The pandemic of the unvaccinated? That would all be answered in the comments and chat.
Against severe illness and death. A fascinating study.
Yeah, it's fascinating, all right. And this is what they're discussing. Immunity acquired from a COVID infection provides strong, lasting protection against the most severe outcomes of the illness, according to research published last Thursday. Too late. In The Lancet, protection experts say that's on par with what's provided through two doses of a mRNA vaccine. But you can only charge for one of those things. So, I don't know. What do you think's best? Let me know in the chat. The immunity generated from an infection was found to be at least as high, if not higher, than provided by two doses of an mRNA vaccine, the authors wrote. Well, it's at least as high, but there is another option. Is it that it's less high? No, it's higher. Ah, drat! Damn unprofitable solutions. So there you go. I mean, I don't think there's much to add to that CBS debate where they covered every single angle of what could be causing these deaths by heart attack, whether it was just COVID or I don't know really. But areas to consider might be the recommendations that were made, the medical procedures that were recommended, the lockdowns that were enforced, basically every conceivable response by the government and the globalist establishment that imposed them on all of us. But that's just what I think. And you know me, I'm crazy. I'm a conspiracy theorist. Let me know what you think in the chat and the comments. Have a look at either of these videos. You'll enjoy them. They're fantastic. Stay on our channel. Spread our content around because this platform favors mainstream media content. We make content for you every single day. Share it, watch it, turn on the notification bell and subscribe immediately. But more important than any of that, please, if you can, stay free.
Okay. And there's Russell Brand, the controlled opposition, as some people call him. But
can you please find controlled opposition?
I was disgusted by his voice the whole time. And I just thought, this is funny.
I love him. Yeah.
He's good. He's good. And, you know, this control, this is why I said, let's do positive today, because I was watching this interview and you know, what is the word? It's jaded. Jaded, and no one trusts and can't own They can't just filter through and listen to a conversation without having to poke fingers. They are conspiracy. They're as bad as other people calling us conspiracy theorists by calling them controlled opposition. And,
right, exactly. Speaking of keeping it light, our sister Lily is with us, and she is all light all the time. Hello, Lily.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great.
I'm live from the park, so if it's a little loud, I apologize.
Oh, not at all. Don't apologize. We just love having you here.
I love you guys.
Yeah, I don't hear. I'm sad.
We've got beautiful weather over here.
Yeah, I lost 17 eggs. We found this. I'm so bummed.
I told you.
Yep.
That's the worst when they hide their eggs.
Oh, man.
And I got bitches. And those are like gold right now. She could have gotten like $15 from those eggs.
That's $6+ I have to throw in the trash can. How are you today, Missy? You feeling better?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm starting to. My lungs are still a little bit of a mess, and I've got like, I don't know, I feel kind of like an airhead, you know, when you have like a head cold and your head feels weird. But I feel mostly better. I've been able to like get some stuff done, and my children have dragged me to the park today. So that's
good. Well, good to go to the park.
It's nice out. We're supposed to get snow in a couple of days, so we'll enjoy the park while it lasts, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
We sent that system your way. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I don't mind the snow too much.
Yeah. Oh, that's another piece of good news is that California is out of drought now. We've had, you know, enough snow. I think the most amount of snow since the 1980s in 1 year so far.
That's a lot, but that's good though for all of the farming and gardening and stuff.
Right, exactly. And Newsom, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of nefariousness going on with this, but Newsom is actually talking about cutting off the waterway into the Pacific Ocean so that we can conserve more water now, which is, you know, I'm sure sending these environmentalists, you know, off a cliff. They're just, you know, beside themselves, even though the only reason that the waterways were unblocked to begin with is because of a fish that's extinct now. But, you know, I think that is something positive. Who knows if it's going to, you know, come out negative in the end. I mean, most things Newsom touches does come out negative, but that seemed to be good news.
Well,
that is good. And, you know, the environmentalists might get upset, but their movement has been so co-opted that it doesn't even resemble itself anymore, you know?
Right, exactly.
The other piece of good news put out by the Newsom administration this week was they officially ended the COVID pandemic. And we knew it was coming. I kept telling all of the clients at the place where I work, they've been still making us wear masks in group, and the counselors had to wear masks. And then so on the 2nd of March or the 3rd of March, we got the email from within the organization that we no longer have to wear them. I threw mine in the trash can.
And you know what's really weird?
That's exciting.
You know what's really weird is that I have seen more masks out in public in the last week than I have in quite some time. Like at the store today, I would say about 25% of people were wearing masks. I'm starting to do this thing now where like for instance, I saw two women walking outside in masks, crossing the street, and I'm, you know, going past them. I roll down my window and I say, masks don't work, you know, and this woman, this little abuela, flipped me off. It's like, I wasn't like, dumb shit, take off your mask. All I said was, masks don't work. And to that knowledge, I get the middle finger. Like, people are, it's silly. It's like, really? That's the reason? You know, like, I didn't splash into a puddle or anything. I just said masks don't work, and fuck you. This little abuela, you know?
I've been noticing the same thing, people walking down the streets and in masks, and it is definitely a cultural issue. So it's mostly Hispanics and Asians that are still wearing them outside. So it could very well be that they still have the pants scared off of them, bless their hearts.
I've noticed where I live that it's mostly like dark-skinned, like African-American people wearing them still. But then today, now I'm at the park, and it's a full park today. Like, even my youngest was a little bit nervous and came and sat with me for a few minutes because there are too many people. But it's all like different colors and backgrounds of people, and I haven't seen one single mask on any adult or children, which is pretty cool. And an Asian family just came, and none of them were wearing them. And so that always makes me happy because it feels more like, you know, like it's supposed to be.
Right, back to normal. Yeah. But California, you know, and I'm starting, you know, I guess I'm jaded, you know, but like today I'm, you know, in the grocery store and I see, gosh, like five people walk by me in masks, you know, two groups of people. And I'm like, oh, yeah, here comes safety, you know, like, oh, yeah, those guys are safe, you know, like loud enough for them to hear, but like, I'm sick of it. I'm really sick of it. The emergency is officially over, and these people are doubling down on it. It's just silly.
Yeah, I had some nurse scream at me. I had to go to the doctor the other day because my, you know, like I can use all of my natural stuff, and it helps a lot. But then when my asthma gets to a certain point, you know, like I've got to combine it with a little bit of Western medicine, even though it's poison. Otherwise, like I just won't get over it. And so anyway, I finally went, and the one receptionist was really cool, and I didn't have a mask, and she did not care, and we had a whole conversation. And then, of course, the lady next to her is crazy, and she starts screaming, ma'am, ma'am, and I ignore her on purpose. And then so she runs at me with a box of masks, and I never even put it on. I just sat there holding it, and she stopped screaming, though, once I had it.
Yeah. To those kind of people,
super weird.
So those kind of people, you just have to be like, whoa, whoa, 6 feet, 6 feet, you know? Like.
Well, I told her I had asthma, and she was like, well, it doesn't matter. And I said, well, maybe you should ask the CDC, because they said that you're not supposed to wear those with asthma. Because I hate the CDC, but I'll use it against stupid people.
You should have asked them for their exemption policy, because I am 99.9% sure that if they would have handed you their mask policy, it would have listed exemptions, and yours would have been one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I just didn't feel like fighting with her, and so I put my book up. I always bring a book to read wherever I go, so I put my book up so that I didn't have to look at her, and she couldn't have to look at me, and I just ignored her the rest of the time.
You should always carry a copy of The Real Anthony Fauci so that you could just hold that up, you know.
Oh, brilliant. I have that. That's a very good book. It was a good chunk of $25. Yeah.
Mine was a little bit more because it's fine.
I have a doctor already. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my doctor is super cool. I like him, but the people that work in his, he's a student still, you know, so he doesn't think he knows so much that he's an arrogant asshole, and he trusts me to know my body better than he does. So, like, when I tell him what I think I need or don't need, he's very open to listening to me and, like, you know, just knowing that I have been with my asthma my whole life and he hasn't. And so he and I get along great, and he actually will ask me about different, like, herbs and natural remedies and then go research them. So I really like him.
Oh, that's awesome.
But the people that work in his clinic really suck. But he told me this last time because he and I went rounds about the vaccine, you know, but we didn't like argue. It was pretty cool because he would just tell me, you know, like, I really like you and I don't want you to die. And I think that maybe the vaccine would be good for you because, you know, he met me when I was in the ICU. So he knows, you know, I wouldn't do very well with, like, respiratory stuff. But he wasn't being, like, disrespectful, and I would just tell him, you know, like, would rather die, not interested. And he read all of the documents that I sent to him, though, outlining why I didn't want it and why I didn't trust it. And he actually came, like, talked to me, last week when I was there, to let me know that he was doing some more research on Dr. Zelenko and Dr. Medij and their detox protocols so that he could help some of his patients detox from the vaccine. And he is thinking about quitting. Like, he still wants to be a doctor, but he thinks that doctors should rebrand themselves after this COVID fiasco and, you know, have better bad side manners and be better listeners and not just, you know, work for the pharmaceutical company. And he feels like he's been betrayed and is just working for them now. And so I'm really proud of him. He's a really good one.
That's awesome. That is really cool. You know,
And I'm hoping that more, like, new doctors like him, you know, are feeling the same way. You know, like, the ones that aren't jaded yet and have just, you know, like, started to be doctors and are doing it because they love people and want to help them. Like, hopefully they're having the same kind of thoughts.
Yeah. And especially the younger doctors are, you know, they're strapped with student loans, right? And it really, if they don't have this job, how are they going to pay off those student loans? And so for any of them to start looking outside the box is so commendable.
Yeah. Yeah. And like he told me a few of the people, the doctors that he went to school with are becoming like allopaths instead. So they're doing like a mix of herbal remedies and natural remedies and, you know, like Chinese medicine and Western medicine in a mix, which was really cool, you know, like just to know that that is becoming an option. Because he and I had an entire conversation about Rockefeller medicine and how, you know, like he generally wouldn't be allowed to talk to me about herbal remedies, you know, without having his license threatened.
Isn't that weird?
They're starting
they're
to like loosen
to
up on some of that now.
Yeah, I just think it's weird that they're not even allowed to have conversations. You know what I mean? Like, and they passed it. It's in actual law in California that you're not allowed to talk to patients about alternate treatments, or or even suggest that masks don't work, or that vaccines are harmful. They pass laws in California to have medical licenses revoked for even having conversations with patients. It's just gross.
Exactly. But I think the doctors are hopefully going to be fed up enough about that shit and tired of watching their patients die now from the vaccine and stuff that they, you know, might actually rebrand what it means to be a doctor, you know, and like flip the script and make it into something where, you know, because I told him, like, he had asked me I had been ill, you know, if I had felt like I needed to go to the emergency room at all. And I told him, like, I try not to consider it because I don't trust those people anymore. And I'm not willing to go unless I, like, am going to die if I don't. And, you know, like, he told me that he's had a lot of patients recently not trust doctors anymore. And so, you know, like, hopefully that's something that they're all kind of, like, starting to have conversations about.
Yeah,
so that they can change
that,
you know.
Because doctors here aren't even allowed to talk about natural immunity. Like, this is like science 101 that you have an immune system. But in California, if you had a conversation with a patient about natural immunity, you could have your license revoked. It's just so backwards.
Yeah, that is extremely backward because, you know, that's part of health to realize that you have an immune system and it works very well for you, you know.
Up, up, up. Your medical license just got pulled in California, Lily, if you had one.
That's right. Because you've spoken against the state propaganda, the state narrative. You dare not.
Yeah.
Have to add me to the 2 minutes of hate.
And if you can't see it. And that's so cool I've given up on the youngins. But I'm really pleased to hear that there are some that it simply doesn't make sense. They're embarrassed how their profession has handled this. And they're stepping back instead of just not thinking, following, and not thinking. Because that's basically, you are not supposed to think. This is not approved thought. These are not approved facts. You know, that's where right. they're at. And they made it a law in California, of all places. You know, years ago, California was supposed to be full of free thinkers. And now look at it. Look at it. It's unbelievable.
Well, they invert everything they touch. So if they tell us that a place is for free thinking, you know, like, that's going to be the first place that they censor and, you know, indoctrinate and force groupthink on. Like, is this what they do, unfortunately? I mean, just like New York, you know, like, I think New York is a terrible, awful place, but, you know, but it was originally supposed to be for artists and poets and, you know, like, be this really beautiful thing.
Well, yeah,
and they
right.
just ruin everything they touch.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Although I did see, mm-hmm. I'm starting to see signs up in, like, pictures of New York retail windows saying masks not allowed due to the increase in crime. Don't come in with a mask on, which I'm like, yeah.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I hate that it has to be
that's
because
ironic.
Of crime, but, you know, but they, but the mask gunman, you know, is a you know, mm-hmm. a phrase in our society for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, all right,
and
so
now,
we've got
yeah.
10 minutes. 10 minutes until the good news report. I've got an 11-minute clip. About actually celebrities in Hollywood demanding that the vaccine mandate be and mask mandates be lifted in Hollywood. Any objections if I play this?
No.
Okay, cool. All right, here we go. So Jimmy Dore, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Woody Harrelson's back at it again. Woody Harrelson is back at it. Here he is. Woody Harrelson slams COVID set protocols. That means movie set on movie sets as nonsense. He urges Hollywood to stop forcing vaccination. That's not a free country. Now, he's correct on all this. He's not the best spokesman. He doesn't really make the right argument, but he's correct. And I appreciate him sticking his chin out because he's correct and he's going against a cult. Because these mandates and these masks and all the stuff that they do on Hollywood movie sets are not based on science. They're based on politics. There's no science to any of it, as we've proven. So Woody Harrelson railed against COVID protocols on film sets. The actor is making the press rounds in support of his new movie, Champions, an indie sports dramedy from director Bobby Fairley. That's Peter Fairley's brother.
Right.
And it's backed by Focus Features. Harrelson expressed uncertainty about the future of indie movies, given all the COVID protocols in place, calling such protocols absurd. What's absurd about the COVID protocols, in New York Times?
Well, the pandemic's over, I think, for one thing.
Yeah.
Might be
how about that? All the studies are in, masks don't make a difference, and that the vaccine doesn't stop transmission.
That's why you're in danger from the unvaccinated.
That if the vaccine stopped you from getting COVID, you wouldn't be afraid of non-vaccinated people. I don't worry when I get into an elevator that somebody on that elevator hasn't been vaccinated for polio because I've been vaccinated for polio. So all the logic they used to do this was anti-logic. They were dumber than the Trumpers they claimed were dumb. They say, oh, the Trumpers, they don't listen to science. They don't, they're dumb. They're conspiracy theorists. People who vote Democrat and are for these COVID restrictions are just as anti-science as anybody they've ever ridiculed in their life.
We got a lot of neurotic Howie Mandel germaphobe types.
That's right. And they want, like, they crave lockdowns, Kurt.
And a lot of people that live with their parents really
that's
look
right.
into it. I found, I can't even, I don't want to rat out how I know, but just how somebody I know works at a place and half people there are underpaid but very arrogant people. They're all like late 30s living with their parents and they're mask insane about – oh, plenty of cats too, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're not worried about COVID with that.
So when they asked him what's absurd about COVID protocols, Woody Harrelson responded poorly. He said this. He said, the fact that they're still going on. Okay, that's good. The actor responded, I don't think that anybody should have the right to demand that you're forced to do the testing, forced to wear the mask, and forced to get vaccinated 3 years on. I'm just like, let's be done with this nonsense. It's not fair to the crews. I don't have to wear the mask. Why should they? Why should they have to be vaccinated? How's that not up to the individual? Well, tell them. He doesn't give you the science because of the science.
By the way, he might have, but they just took that. It's very possible.
You might have an argument if the science supported it, that if people got vaccinated, we could get rid of this pandemic. That's never going to happen. The virus is never, it's always going to be here, and you're going to catch it. Everybody's going to catch it. There's no not catching it. So that's why vaccine mandates make no sense, because everybody's going to get it. And you know who said that? Dr. Fauci said that. And Joe Biden's head of the COVID response also said that everybody's going to get COVID. If you haven't already, you're going to get it. There's no not getting it.
Then why they make these rules if they said that?
So that's what I wished Woody would have said. That everybody's going to get it. The vaccines don't stop transmission. Everyone's going to get it. That's why they make no sense to force you to take an experimental medical procedure with no long-term studies. He could have also said nobody was fully informed, because we found out a year and a half later that Pfizer never even tested to see if they stopped transmission, meaning the vaccines. So I would argue people weren't fully informed. He didn't say make any of those. He just said, I don't have to wear it, so why should you? It's 3 years in. So those aren't actual arguments. That's kind of an argument.
Actually, it is, because why doesn't he have to?
That is. The star doesn't have to wear it. I know. That is an argument. It is true. He could have made better ones. And by the way, I'm really not critical of him in this, of Woody Harrelson. He's doing a great job. He's sticking his chin out. He's showing courage, and he's standing up for the lesser. He doesn't have to wear a mask. He doesn't have to do all this stuff, but the people who work around him do, and he's actually standing up for them, and he's standing up for common sense and sanity. So good for him. And I just want to make the case better, and maybe next time he will make it better. He said, how's that not up to the individual? Why should they have to be vaccinated? I shouldn't be talking about this shit. It makes me angry for the crew. This anarchist part of me, I don't feel that we should have forced testing, forced masking, and forced vaccination. That's not a free country. Really, I'm talking about the crew, because I can get out of wearing a mask. I can test less. I'm not in the same position they're in, but it's wrong. It's 3 years. Stop. As an anarchist, I don't do well with mandates, he concluded. Harrelson's New York Times interview published shortly before his stint hosting Saturday Night Live on February 25th. The actor generated controversy for his opening monologue, which built to a polarizing COVID conspiracy joke. They got to say conspiracy. They got to say that. Harrelson spent the majority of his monologue touting the craziest script he ever read. So they're going to call this a conspiracy instead of just a theory of or just an observation of what actually happened. This isn't a conspiracy. This is an observation.
Hey, so the movie goes like this. The biggest drug cartels in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes, and people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over.
That is a factual. That is not a conspiracy theory. That is just an observation of society. The big drug cartels, big pharma, got together. They own the media and the government. And they are the ones who dictated the policy during COVID, not actual scientists or doctors doing due diligence. It was bought and paid for criminals like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins and Walensky at the CDC, who are bought and paid for criminals, criminal liars. And that's not hyperbole. Fauci should have been in prison over AIDS, let alone COVID. He's admitted to lying a million times. Fauci's admitted to lying about masks. He's admitted to lying about herd immunity. They lied about natural immunity. They lied about transmission, contraction. They lied about everything. But he's the conspiracy theorist, according to Variety magazine. It's interesting. I wonder where Variety gets their money. It's not hard to see Harrelson was making a comment on COVID vaccine mandates, which he more directly railed against in his New York Times interview. The actor's latest movie is Champions. It opens in theaters on March 10th. I love how they call This crazy actor is pushing a wild conspiracy theory about Big Pharma as a drug cartel, but we're still Variety, so here's when his movie's coming out. Tim Robbins got his back. Tim Robbins supports him. He says, Woody is right. Time to end the charade. SAG-AFTRA, Actors Equity. So that would be the on television and on film, and then this would be on stage. Tim Robbins, still won't return my email, but I know he loves me because I love him. Great job, Tim Robbins. And Susan Sarandon was mental for leaving you. How about that? That's how much I love you. Where's Susan Sarandon on this? Interesting. Haven't heard much from her.
Really?
I don't know. I haven't. Maybe she has. Have anybody heard anything?
No, but I will let you know that Fran Drescher came out at the SAG Awards, and she also talked about, she said, she also again called for an end to the industry's COVID vaccination mandate, which gives employers the right to require vaccinations as a condition. And she said, and as this nation declares an end to COVID emergency in May, I hope we will see everyone return to work and equal opportunity, exclamation mark. So she's been vocal as well.
Because it's crazy they can keep having this go. I mean,
it's crazy. There couldn't be less science about it. There's nothing. It's anti-science. Never made sense. And I knew 2 years ago that the vaccine mandates made no sense. Let's say a year and a half. Here's what
they always make no sense out of the gate, because if it works, then why do you need that?
That's exactly.
I'm going to be fine. I got my shots. I don't care what you did.
I always said if you should get your vaccine, it'll protect you. But I all have to say, unless YouTube would take my channel down, that the vaccine is safe and effective, and it does slow the transmission and contraction, and it'll keep you from getting seriously ill or hospitalized or death. That's YouTube science is better than your science.
Then that means, why do I need a mask then?
look what they did to him. So he makes a point. Woody makes a point about how the drug cartels bought the media, and then the media immediately repeat the smears against them ubiquitously.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Brought to you by Woody Harrelson's at anti-vax conspiracies, anti-vax conspiracies, COVID conspiracies, anti-vax conspiracy, Variety, Huffington Post, Rolling Stone. What is it?
Daily Beast.
They're just, it's ubiquitous.
Every one of them is awful.
They're all
always
awful.
Been an awful publication.
Well, all corporate media sucks.
Well, didn't Rolling Stone at one point have Matt Taibbi and
at one point,
Hunter S. Thompson? And,
at one point. But yeah. It's all over. When Bill Clinton deregulated the media, it's all over.
God, remember that dim bulb Jan Wenner on Rogan? Be like, well, we got a really safe drug supply.
Yes.
You moron.
You moron.
Oh, my God.
If you want to see my stand-up special, become a member at jimmydore.com. It's only $10. And come see our live stand-up comedy in Los Angeles, Palm Springs, Milwaukee, St. Paul, Honolulu, Northampton, Massachusetts, Syracuse, Cohoes, New York, Hartford, and more.
We love Jimmy.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy theorists love.
He's
okay,
a good
now with
one.
That, unless you guys want to add any, you know, thoughts or comments or questions about the Jimmy Dore clip, then if not, then we can just jump right into the good news report. But let me know if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns.
Well, I don't know, Lily, if you're with me on this, but my thought is, you know, they always like us to follow the bouncing ball. And I thought to myself, why are we still talking about this? It's supposed to be over, and they're like rehashing it from the beginning, as if to make us try to forget that they didn't. Well, there were people who were screaming in the beginning that this was a lie. They were making this up.
To this day, I still do not have a YouTube channel because I question the official narrative.
But here, how they pump the numbers when they talk about putting the nursing home patients in with COVID patients. I know for a fact the way that they killed these poor people was with the death cocktail. They tied them to beds. They locked us away. You couldn't see what they were doing to these people, and they gave them this dementia medicine. Several, everyone I talked to, and my mother included. And that's how they killed these people. There was no virus involved. And it just, you know, the rollout of the 5G, the the fact that you can't, we're not allowed, it's enough that the mask mandates are gone because that was a visual of our, a reminder of our trauma. But now it's like the story, they won't stop talking about it. We are over. It's been, the Wicked Witches is dead, the mandates are lifted, and they've even declared that it'll be over in May 11th in my state. And it's like, that was such an arbitrary date, but will it really? Because they continually espouse masks work, vaccines work, even though it's coming out that it isn't. It's going against their rhetoric. It's almost like, why are we continually talking about this instead of just letting it go? And
well, because honestly, if we let it go right now, then they would win. We already knew before COVID, before the cuckoo virus.
Are we,
what?
Are we in a contest? Are we in a contest?
Yeah, we kind of are, because honestly, we knew this stuff. Let me finish my thought. We knew this stuff before COVID. We knew that masks didn't stop viruses. And so, yes, I do feel that it is imperative that we don't let them get away with this, that we don't let them, you know, say that because you know what's coming next is that, okay, well, if it works on masks work on COVID, then masks will work on the flu and masks will work on a cold and masks will work, you know, and I feel like a sense of duty to make sure that people realize that before the cuckoo virus, we knew that masks didn't work. And now it's coming out after the cuckoo virus that they know that masks don't work. It's like they're presenting it as new information when it was always there. And that's really infuriating to me that you know, I don't want to let them go because I know that they've already, I know that they know this stuff and they knew this stuff. And this is a ritual, you know, this is a cult ritual of submission. It's a sign of submission that you wear on your face. That's why I'm so passionate about this.
The other thing is that
why I'm
trying it again.
They've moved on.
Okay. So, Elizabeth, your question was,
to another ritual of taking our children's gender away and the things they're doing to our children in the school systems with the laws. I think it's more crucial than talking old heads.
Okay.
But,
Elizabeth, you just answered your own question. Why are we still talking about this? It's because they took total control of the entire world, and it was a test, and we failed. And it goes right to that point that you just made about changing our children's gender. It's about control. They want to depopulate the world. They want power, and they're going to do whatever it takes to stop us from reproducing and having dominion over this world. And
Mom,
and
let me ask you.
You know, let me finish my thought.
Yeah.
You say it's over now. No, because now they know that they can get, or at least they think they can get away with it. What's next is a better question. What are they going to do next? They watched us. They put us under a microscope to see how we would behave. There are still people walking down the street with masks on.
And flipping you off when you say that they don't work.
So the question isn't why are we still talking about this. The at least for me, the question is what's next?
Well, okay, and that's what I was going to say, Mom. I'm not trying to get you to out your organization that you work for, but that letter that was sent to you about – lifting the mask mandate had a lot of stipulations in it, which is the next step.
Yes.
And can you just briefly cover the you know, when you would still need to wear a mask?
Honey, I don't have the email in front of me. It's at work.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
They did the same thing with us. And the stipulation is if you're sick, and we're constantly sick, If you're sick, you have to wear a mask.
That was one of the stipulations. Yes, Elizabeth.
10 days after you come back.
You're correct.
Yeah.
Or if you were in close contact with a client that had the sniffles.
Supposedly got exposed. Yeah. So that's what they're setting up the left hook. 4:09, and I'm going to have to go out and feed the chickens here pretty soon. I'm going to just do for my good news report. I have a couple of things, obviously, but I wanted to go back and look at how they got away with it, how all this started. And in this article in the Lancet, if you remember the pop quiz, where do we know the Lancet? Do you remember that? Why this particular journal organization or this research organization is important?
Well, I said
it was the Lancet that they.
It's an old school.
But it's also Lancet is the who Fauci used to put out that about the zoonotic transmission. So we were at the world was like it came from China. It looks like a lab leak. The Lancet covered Fauci and his fucking his wickedness. But that's where the article is about where revisiting the initial COVID-19 pandemic projections. Early projections of the COVID-19 pandemic prompted federal government to action. One critical report published on March 16th, 2020, this is the Mann, M-A-N-N name, I forget his name, David Mann, received international attention when it predicted 2,200,000 deaths in the U.S. and 519,000 deaths in the U.K. without some kind of coordinated pandemic response. This information became foundational in decisions to implement physical distancing 6 feet, remember that? Physical distancing and adherence to other public health measures because it established the upper boundary. Listen to that part. They're cleaning it up in this article, the upper boundary for any worst case scenarios. So what they did was they made a wild ass projection based on bullshit and said, just in case it's as bad as this projection is, we should do a whole lot of stuff and take over the fucking world. However, here we go. The authors derived these projections from best available estimates at the time. Read the word statistics bullshit. The evolving nature of empirical knowledge about COVID-19 provides current estimates with more accurate information than what would have been available merely weeks after first discovery of the virus, plus the benefit of hindsight. So now we get to play this game. They're covering their butts. For example, asymptomatic transmission has been said to be the Achilles heel of public health strategies to control the pandemic. Here we go. And several factors about asymptomatic cases remained uncertain during the early days. Remember they told us, you won't know if the person has it, because there's such a thing, they tried to make us believe there was such a thing as asymptomatic spread.
Yeah, the first time it ever happened with a virus ever in the history of ever.
The report assumed that asymptomatic individuals were 50% as infectious as symptomatic cases, whereas the current U.S. Centers for Disease Control, where'd it go? And prevention estimates have suggested 75% infection rate from asymptomatic individuals. A more important difference is the infection fatality ratio as originally predicted. So remember, dying with COVID or from COVID as originally projected in the Imperial College London, UK report versus current estimations. A high ratio of asymptomatic individuals might have inflated the perceived mortality of the disease given the limited testing supplies and attention to symptomatic cases. This is where they clean it all up, okay? They told us 2.2 million people were going to die and that you wouldn't know if somebody had it, so that's why you had to hide in your house, because unlike any other fucking virus since the origins of man, that people with no symptoms could spread the virus. They lied.
And yeah, and if you didn't see that was bullshit, and
that they tried to tell us it was the very first time in the history of viruses. that asymptomatic spread was a thing. The other thing they tried to tell us was that once you get it, that there's no such thing as acquired immunity. They lied. So here we go with Cato. Same, they're talking about the same study, but this one was written right after the projections were made. It says how one model simulated 2.2 million U.S. deaths from COVID-19. When it came to dealing with an unexpected surge in infections and deaths from SARS-CoV-2, the virus causing the COVID-19 symptoms, federal and state policymakers understandably sought guidance from competing epidemiological computer models. On March 16th, a 20-page report from Neil Ferguson's team at the Imperial College of London quickly gathered enormous attention by producing enormous death estimates. Dr. Ferguson had previously publicized almost equally sensational death estimates from mad cow disease. So why did they believe him? This is the same fool that tried to tell us we were all going to die from mad cow disease. Or it could be that was just a gambit trying to get people to see how people would respond. Also, he predicted the same thing for bird flu and swine flu. He was wrong all three of those other times, so why did we take him seriously? Just as the COVID-19 pandemic has upended our daily lives, it has transformed the political landscape. There you go. There's your answer. With governments at all levels exercising emergency powers rarely seen outside the context of total war. With so much at risk, what's needed now is sober, realistic assessment of the choices ahead, a guide to policies that can stem the damage while avoiding permanent transformation of the American life and law. The Cato Institute aims to meet that need with this new series. So Cato, back in April of 2020, was saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Hold on. So the report that warned that an uncontrolled spread of the disease could cause as many as 510,000 deaths in Britain triggered a sudden shift in the government's comparatively relaxed response to the virus. American officials said the report, which projected up to 2.2 million deaths in the United States from such spread, also influenced the White House to strengthen its measures to isolate members of the public. A month later, that 2.2 million estimate was still being used, without revealing the source, by President Trump and Drs. Fauci and Birx to imply that up to 2 million lives had been saved by state lockdowns and businesses closing and or federal travel bans, okay? And yet we are 3 years later, and they just now lifted the state of emergency here in California, 3 years, and they told us 14 days to stop the spread. Next, okay? I pulled up a bunch of different articles, and I want to just go over a couple. So this article was done in May of 2021. They're asking how accurate were the early expert predictions. So this was a year later. Who made accurate predictions about the course of COVID and who didn't, right? It says, predicting the course of a brand new disease like COVID-19 just a few months after it had first been identified is incredibly difficult. So they're giving them wiggle room, right? But the important thing is for experts to be able to acknowledge uncertainty, which they never did, and adapt their previous predictions as more data becomes available. This was the other problem. They never backed off. You're all going to die. They said it. They were still saying it 6 months ago or a year ago. Or when was it when Biden said it was a year of darkness and death and disease and death, okay? It was about power the entire time. So they did an article with a guy named David Corman, Spillover Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. This was written in 2012. And he said, what would it be like to predict the next virus, the next pandemic? So they had all this planned. And here's the guy that they got the information from. His name is David Quantiman. He's author of Spillover. So he predicts and writes about it. And if they could have, what they probably did was take this interview and change the world with it. And so this gentleman said, okay, so it's a spillover virus from an animal, and we'll have to change the entire world by making us housebound. That's what this guy said in 2012. They took this information and they made it happen. Go read about David Korneman. All right, now. Questions so far about the information?
I'm okay. I would like to, after you're done, play the Dr. Birx and Dr. Ezeki clips that are, you know, relatively a minute each, just kind of confirming this information and showing how they fudged all of these numbers. But other than that, I'm good.
Right. I would love for you to do that, because remember, one of these articles that I just read, I would love for you to play that clip, is that, you know, 2 months later, they were still pointing to this study, okay? And they weren't telling anybody where they got the information from at that point. They were not telling people that it was from this fucking fool that predicted the same thing for mad cow disease. Recommendations from a fool. From an organization that had been dead wrong 3 times with wild-eyed predictions, exactly like that. Predictions, estimates.
Well, and especially since, you know, we've got these COVIDians out there who are still saying that 6 million people around the world have died of COVID. How could you possibly say anything other than what the, you know what I mean? How could you say that there were, you know, weren't 6 million people who died? And it's
with
not
COVID.
True. With, exactly.
With COVID, not from COVID. And they're still hanging on to that. Because of how rapidly this virus spread, everybody that entered a hospital had traces of the virus, and they called them all COVID deaths.
Yep.
So this is another one from 2021, and it's PLOS One, which is a pretty well-respected research. They gather articles, right? So it's a place where I would go to if I needed to get a research question answered and gather a bunch of articles for the data for my question. They also did a research study about how well did experts and lay people, interesting, forecast the size of the COVID-19 pandemic. It says throughout COVID-19 pandemic, social and traditional media have disseminated predictions from experts and non-experts about its expected magnitude. How accurate were the predictions of experts, in quotes, individuals holding occupations or roles in subject relevant fields such as epidemiologists and statisticians compared with those of the public? I thought this was an interesting article. We conducted a survey in April 2020 of 140 UK experts and 2,086 UK laypersons. All were asked to make 4 quantitative predictions about the impact of COVID by December 31st, 2020. In addition to soliciting point estimates, we asked participants for lower and higher bounds of range. And they all felt that they had a 75% chance of containing the virus. And so what they did was they asked a bunch of regular folks, and they all said, we think it's bullshit. But the experts still kept telling us that we're all going to die. So, Elizabeth, you're correct. Average people have not believed this since about 2 weeks after they told us. So the timeline was for COVID was from clinical infectious diseases, November 30th, 2020, 7,389 blood samples collected between December 13th, 2019 and January 17th, 2020. by the American Red Cross from normal donors in 9 states, California, Connecticut, Iowa, Massachusetts, Michigan, Oregon, Rhode Island, Washington, and Wisconsin included 1.1% that were positive for SARS-CoV. So this started a lot earlier than anyone ever thought. So when they were in these blood samples, long before this supposed virus was going to kill everyone, they were already collecting SARS-CoV-2 blood samples from people. So the timeline is way off, first of all. And if you remember, Danielle and I both have said we all believe my whole family had it in December of 2019. Natural immunity, baby. Okay. So I just thought I would run that down. Now, the vaccine timeline where they said, okay, you all have to stay in your house because we're really close to getting this vaccine done. We've taken out all the stops that would normally be in place to get a vaccine to market out to the population. So we're going to run this thing through super fast, Operation Warp Speed, which Donald Trump was inordinately proud of. Well, it turns out that was a really bad idea. I listened to a video today of a scientist in the UK, and none of the studies included what was going to happen to fertility, to the heart, any of it. They didn't even test them on animals. They just rammed them through. And of the women that were in the initial cohort that got the vaccine, half of them lost their children, lost their babies to miscarriage. They have created the biggest scandal in American history. This is a scandal of many of our best professional researchers lying to the American people. This is an opinion by Newt Gingrich. I don't know if you guys know who Newt Gingrich is, but
former Speaker of the House.
He was a former Speaker of the House, and he says we're living through the largest, deadliest scandal in American history, but the elite media refuses to connect the dots and analyze it. When did he put this out? This was, I can't find a date. COVID-19, a disease that no one disputes came from Wuhan, China, has killed more than 1.1 million Americans and more than 6.8 million people. So he's even, Danielle, quoting the incorrect statistics, which that's next, okay? More than 6.8 million people worldwide has left millions of others with chronic health problems. Because of the teachers' unions and totally misguided destructive public health policies, children who are under virtually no risk from COVID-19 have lost at least a year of education. Many children are suffering from depression and other mental health challenges from the forced isolation and lack of social contact, becoming more clear that much of this pain was avoidable and the result of powerful government employees protecting themselves. As Jared Stepman of the Daily Signal wrote, in 2020, if you thought it was possible COVID-19 came from a lab in China, you were labeled a conspiracy theorist, a peddler of misinformation, bonkers, and a racist. Facebook and other social media removed a lab leak claim from their apps or slapped misinformation labels on it. Facebook did so in lockstep with the government. So according to the standards set in 2020, the Department of Energy just came out as a racist purveyor of misinformation this week. The Wall Street Journal reported on Sunday that according to a classified intelligence report provided to the White House and Congress, the Department of Energy concluded that the COVID-19 pandemic likely came from a lab leak. The Energy Department's conclusion is the result of new intelligence and is significant because the agency has considerable scientific expertise and oversees a network of U.S. national laboratories, some of which conduct advanced biological research. I have a question for everyone on this call. Why do they conceal the lab leak theory?
Well, so they wouldn't be held accountable for an oopsie-daisy.
Yep. I second that.
Anyone else? Anyone else have an opinion? Because mine is not. I disagree with your take on it. They did it so Donald Trump would lose the election. And I'll tell you why. Because he said it came from China, and they had to prove him wrong.
He said it came from China.
China. Additionally, they were protecting government employees because we're the ones that created it. Speaking of power, speaking of the nasty, globalist, horrendous, vicious, evil people that want to be our rulers. So, they did it because Donald J. Trump was a threat to them and everyone that thinks like him.
They had to kill the economy so that Joe Biden can come back in and say, I created more jobs than anybody else in the history of blah, blah, blah.
Oh, well, okay.
And we wouldn't have this Ukraine fiasco.
Exactly. Yes.
With Trump. Yeah, so perhaps you're right. I will give you that.
Yes. So the last big lie that I'm going to cover today that was also part of the control mechanism is masks. A major new study shows that masks don't stop the spread of COVID. Will the mandators apologize? No. The COVID pandemic is in the rearview mirror. We have plenty of data about it, including studies telling us how well our countermeasures worked. They didn't. A dozen scientists from around the world conducted a massive meta-study of our efforts to fight COVID as well as similar efforts to fight the flu, and they published the results of the Cochrane Database of Systemic Reviews. The authors examined 78 different studies on the efficacy of different mitigation efforts, such as masking, distancing, screening, quarantining, and hand washing. How did these interventions affect the spread of the flu, COVID, or similar viruses? The studies included were diverse. They covered epidemics as well as periods of low transmission. They covered rich countries and poor countries, suburban schools and inner city neighborhoods, hospitals, and villages. Most important was what they had in common. They were all randomized controlled trials, or at least cluster RCTs, randomized controlled trials. That's an RCT. These are the gold standards for studies because they have the greatest chance of avoiding confounding factors. Non-randomized, non-controlled trials, for example, observational studies, can be compromised if, say, people become more likely to wear a mask at time or places they already have a higher rates of spread, or if people who wore masks were more fastidious hand washers. So what did the studies find? For starters, hand washing was effective in stopping the spread of these illnesses. No shit. Wash your hands. But here's the most eye-opening finding. Wearing masks in the community probably makes little or no difference to the outcome of influenza-like illness, COVID-19-like illness, compared to not wearing masks. In other words, masks didn't do much, if anything. It's possible that a community could drive down spread if everyone wore well-fitted, high-quality masks such as N95s or respirators, but there's no conclusive evidence that it does. With that in mind, back to late 2020 to mid-2022, when mayors, governors, school districts, and even the U.S. Department of Transportation and Joe Biden were forcing masks on unwilling people, especially children, even when viral transmission was very low. Early on, when public health officials told us to wear masks, they were simply playing it safe. But as time went on, even as the efficacy of masks became more doubtful, the officials switched from asking to mandating. They went beyond mandating, of course, and attacked everyone who resisted their mandates as selfish grandma killers. The mayors and county executives who required masks knew they didn't work. Obviously, because these same mayors and county executives personally refused to wear these masks in exactly the situations where they were mandating that they be worn. What happened in the past happened in the past. The mask mandates in 2020 had an excuse. The mandators in 2023 don't. Today, they should all personally and publicly fess up and explain why they made the mistakes they did. If the mask mandators don't explain the source of their error, they're immolating whatever authority and credibility they have left. That's what I got.
Well, that's not very good news, but that's okay. It's necessary.
But I do have one piece of good news. I do have one piece of really good news, and I actually haven't gone to my good news folder, so give me just a minute. General Flynn filed a lawsuit against the United States for malicious prosecution and abuse of power. If you never fully understood what happened or didn't know, this thread is for you. This story is one of, if not the most important stories of our time. There are so many people out there who are unaware of the depravity that occurred with this case. So General Flynn's going after their asses, and I'm happy about that. So I'm going to the one last thing about COVID, and that is during the pandemic when everybody was freaking out and trying to be the most COVID-iate, apparently there was a propaganda campaign in that kept people locked up in Britain. And one of the guys was Health Minister Matt Hancock. Okay. He spreads fear on national television as he deploys the new variant and frightens the pants off of everyone. The new variant is out of control. It's important for everybody to act like they might have the virus. The cases, as you've seen from the graphs, have absolutely rocketed in the last few days. That was Omicron, remember? Given how much faster this new variant spreads, it will be very difficult to keep it under control until we have the vaccine rolled out. In the meantime, he's sending text messages to his friends and saying, when should we roll out the new variant? And the text messages going back and forth are they're planning to scare everyone back into their homes in Britain. This is direct evidence that this was a plot to maintain control. So I just wanted to, Danielle has that if you want to post that in the chat, where he tells us that that's exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, this is the Bhattacharya, Dr. Bhattacharya one.
Yep,
I can do that.
Yep. Okay. So memo to the nation. Going through a major transitional period. This is from General Flynn. We are living in a meaningful time. Americans don't despair. We wake and we rise. We commit to do even more for our loved ones, communities, houses of worship, school boards, town councils, or county boards. This commitment also strengthens us, and it draws others to our side. And others will join the cause because it's theirs too. Our nation faces a test of faith, faith in God, faith in ourselves, faith in each other, faith in our families and friends, and faith that our Constitution will stand this test of time and adversity. Our founders envisioned this time of immense challenge and warned us about the rise of tyranny against our desire for freedom. During this test, reflect back on the most important component of your life. For me, it is my children and grandchildren, mine too. And never forget that one thing more important than freedom is faith in God. All Americans should focus on the positive things in our lives and how we as a nation will rise above the dark shadows of evil and once again discover the light. The hard times my family and I encountered these past several years have given me time and reason to reflect on our country and our cause. My thinking has been augmented, clarified, and sharpened by my correspondence with tens of thousands of Americans, maybe by you. We have to and must learn to must return to our roots as a nation. So that's what I'm going to close with, is that there absolutely are millions of us out here that, as Elizabeth said, you know, how many people still believe it? How long did it take? There are millions of us that started rubbing our chins within about 2 weeks of this pandemic. And again, we're at 3 years now, and I just want to finish with that's why we're still talking about it, so that they can't do it again. Questions, concerns, comments before I sign off and feed chickens. I'm going to go look for more egg stashes, too, while I'm out there.
I have those two little clips to play, which is 2 minutes total. So if you'd like to stick around for that.
I would.
Okay, all right. I'm going to start with Dr. Birx, which is a little bit more convoluted. What's that?
Yes. Tell again why you're playing it, Danielle.
Okay. So these two clips show that very early on, I would say within the first couple months of the pandemic, the health experts already knew that that the classifications of COVID deaths, Russell Brand in that earlier clip says, of COVID or with COVID when people were dying. Very early on, these classifications were marked by our health experts, and it went right over everyone's heads. So I would like to refresh everyone's memory about the difference, the classifications of people who are dying of COVID versus with COVID. And I'm going to start with Dr. Birx. It's a little more convoluted. Dr. Ezeki, sorry, I know we don't like her, Elizabeth, but the public health director for the state of Illinois nails it, succinct. But I'll start with Dr. Birx because she did it probably the same week, but she did it first. So so here we go, 3, 2, 1.
...that's reported by coronavirus because of either testing or standards for how they're characterized.
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem. Some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
Okay, so that's Dr. Birx, and that's a little bit more convoluted. And now Dr. Ezeki, public health director for the state of Illinois, I'm going to play her clip, which is a little shorter, a little more succinct. Here we go, 3, 2, 1.
I just want to be clear in terms of the definition of people dying of COVID. So the case definition is very simplistic. It means at the time of death, it was a COVID positive diagnosis. So that means that if you were in hospice and had already been given, a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death. I hope that's helpful.
Yes, that's very helpful. Thank you. You know what I mean? Like that's boom. Like that's if people would have listened to this press conference, back at the beginning,
and they out and out said that's how we would market it.
We're
producing bullshit for you to eat up.
Right. Exactly. So we're putting it on we're putting a checkbox on the form so you can mark it. You can check it off, right? Like that's, good scarf, though, Other than that, she's crap.
Unbelievable. And, it's never really been brought out the amount of people that died because of the COVID protocol that the hospitals inflicted upon people. Doctors came out and then, said that we went the exact opposite of what we should have been doing for these people. Basically, we were killing them with laying them flat on their backs, putting them on respirators. This is not how you help somebody. And that's what they were doing. So basically, this goes back to we made a story up, and then we produced deaths to back up our story.
Absolutely. That's, right. That's exactly what's yeah. going on. Lily, do you have anything before mom goes and make sure that her little bitch hens don't steal any more eggs?
They're stealing them.
Yeah, hopefully they don't find more eggs.
I hope so. Okay, well, you guys have a blessed week. I will get off, for Elizabeth's sake, I will get off the COVID stuff next week and come up with some really good news. So that's what we need to be praying for good news. No, it's all right.
I love you, Carla.
I love you. I love you guys. Peace be upon all who inhabit this world. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great week.
You too. Right, love you. Now. Okay. Okay, I have a question for Lily.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you there? Good. Okay.
I am.
Did you research my soap?
Yeah, I am pretty sure that I can make it. I just have to make sure that I can get those beans, and I can't remember how to pronounce them at this moment. But as long as I can get that ingredient, then I can make them.
Okay. I'm so glad.
You
know, it's funny. It's like I knew about your soap venture before people on the internet did. And then I see a bunch of people saying, I just got my shipment from Lily. I'm so excited. I love that. I love our networking. I love our family. I love that we can, you know, lift up people in their, you know, so that they can, you know, have, you know, support themselves with, you know, doing the things that they love and that our community supports them. I just love all of that.
Me too. And I am like beyond grateful because, you know, without our Facebook family and our Soul Tribe online, I wouldn't have a business at all, you know, because I don't know people, very many people in real life, you know. So the only people that would buy stuff from me that would know me would be my family then without everyone. And so I'm really grateful because that is going to allow me to, you know, like be able to have this business and do it from the RV when we're traveling.
Yes. I love that.
And for our listeners who would like to check this out, you could go to Etsy and look for Lily's Pad, and you can find a whole selection of natural soaps. And what else do you have, tinctures?
I've got tinctures, elixirs, soaps, and next week I'll have a line of cleaning supplies that are just like all natural and organic candles. And also I'm working on my bread starters so then I can send people their own starters that are already done and they don't have to do anything besides feed them.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, cool.
I'll take a sourdough.
I have an Amish friendship bread that's more of like a white bread and it's a little sweeter. And then I also have the San Francisco sourdough. So both of those will be available in about a week.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. I want that so much.
Well, and I thought it would be cool, like, the more I make, like, then I can sell them. But also when we're traveling and, you know, as food shortages get worse or whatever and people need food, like, you know, bread isn't the healthiest thing in the world for you, but it's filling and it's better than no food, you know. And so we could just gift breads to people to make their own food and then gift to their friends and family. And
right.
Especially I thought that would be kind of neat.
Especially since sourdough starters, like you've got to discard, you know, the majority of the starter every day, you know, you might as well give it to people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, there's no reason for anyone to have to go hungry in these shortages, you know, like we might not have all of our most favorite foods, or, you know, like things like that sometimes, but like there's no reason that anybody shouldn't have food at all.
Exactly. Okay, so I've been told that I have to play a commercial. It's been like actually 3 weeks ago. My the creator of the network.
We have sponsors. Let's do it. Yeah.
So hold on. Let me find it. There it is. Okay. All right. So here we go. We have a sponsor for the network, Ninja Scroll. And so here we go.
Peace, what's up, y'all? This is Ninja Scroll. Check out my newest album, Renewed Mind, with songs like this. Solve Coagula. Solve Coagula. Tear down and rebuild the whole system. Vibrant prophecy fulfilled. Snakes in the grass. Son of position. We got snakes in the grass. Rally through the high pass. Traps all laid out. Avoid the bomb blast. I got ya right where I want ya. Like a raw lion in the field, I stalked ya. Creeped up on ya, peeped on your aura. Laying in wait, ready to pounce on ya. Once I get ya, you'll be a gore. Can you hear me now?
Just all part of the game.
In this thing with solo, now it's time to open up your eyes. Look at how you're living, just to follow the world of Satan.
And the new norms, the new world order. Yeah, go get yours right now at officialninjascroll.web.com. That's official, ninjascroll.web.com.
Trying to show you everything, but you ain't care. Got you running scared, it's fear that is the main weapon. Peace to the people that was always prepping. I'm stepping on toes trying to wake you up.
And that's Ninja Scroll. So,
all right. Everyone,
yeah,
go out and buy one. Everybody needs one.
Yeah.
And you can't whatever. Live without it.
I don't really know what they're selling, but I'm sure it's great.
I believe it might be music, but I could be wrong, but go for it. Everybody needs at least two in their homes.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's cool. We have a sponsor. We cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to at least buy one ourselves to see exactly how beneficial it is and all the cool things you can do with a Ninja Scroll. Brought to you by
It slices, it dices, it Ninja Scrolls.
Ninja Scroll, you can't go wrong with Ninja Scrolls. That's right. That's too cool. We did good. And Lily's Pad on Etsy. Look it up if you want some nice homegrown grandma type of back to nature. This is how things used to be done when people would make their own soaps, and oh my gosh, who doesn't want fresh bread made for themselves? I do.
Oh my gosh, especially the sourdough starter. I'm so excited about that.
It goes well with your Ninja Scroll that you'll be buying.
You know what else I'm really looking for? Like, you know what else I'm really looking forward to finding a local source for is, or even a national source for is tea. My tea store closed down. There were only four in the United States, and they closed.
Oh. You know, I got the coolest gift the other day because I like tea too, and I have a collection of teapots. And when anybody comes over, they'll be like, "Oh my gosh, you like these?" And then they give me teapots. I have a teapot. It's called the Spot. It came with these little packages of tea, organic teas, that each one comes in a little pyramid package. And it's the coolest little thing. I haven't opened it up yet. But, yeah,
that's
I think we all need to get back into being healthy and having a cup of tea. Because it just helps you through the day, you know? Get away
I'm
from your...
Addicted.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a little addicted at the moment. I'm a little addicted.
Here do the carbonated drinks. Who drinks... I know many people that – I know this one lady I work with, she'll have a Coke and a bag of Fritos every day for breakfast, as long as I've been on it for 20 years. And I'm like, wow, I couldn't do that. Got to have my coffee. Never got around to having a cup of tea in the morning, but what do you guys drink as your favorite go-to beverage?
Lily, you go first.
I've been trying to drink more water, although I do love coffee, and I started making our own, like – homemade creamer, and I have to say that I love my coffee even more now, so I'm probably not going to be kicking coffee anytime soon, but I also make tea, and I have it like, I don't have, waiting to get a little more stock of my herbs before I sell the tea, you know, like so that I make sure I have enough for everyone, but I'm going to start selling my own tea blends, but like for... They're not, I mean, they're good, but they're, you know, like for different health things. So there's like a blend for sleep, a blend of tea for lungs, a blend of tea for your tummy. There's one that helps actually with like blood circulation and, you know, like breaking up blood clots is another tea, and then mm-hmm. so, like, you know, they're not, like, super fruity teas necessarily or anything, but they are very helpful.
Herbal
so I'll have
tea.
Those
herbal teas
in a, probably
don't
a week
really
or two.
Taste that great, but they definitely have the benefits for you. That's fantastic. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Daniel. I'm a water.
No, no,
person,
I
thought,
water,
coffee.
I just had to
water
run and grab my the ingredients.
To beer. Seabreeze. Mmm.
So this is, okay, so two of my favorite teas. This is my favorite iced tea, and it's a blend from T2, so the letter T, the number 2, teas.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that closed. They only had 4 stores in the United States. I was lucky enough to have one in my area, but they closed all of them.
Awesome.
And now it's, yeah, and now it's all online, so we'll see. But this blend is called Gorgeous Geisha. This is my favorite. I make this ice. This is a loose leaf tea blend that's got green
mm-hmm.
peas. This is natural and artificial flavoring. Freeze dried strawberries. That's all it. That's all the.
Nice.
So and,
oh,
and I asked
really
them.
Good.
Well, and I asked them too. Like that, if there's no like percentage listed, then it's less than 1%. So less than 1% artificial flavoring. Freeze-dried strawberries and green tea, and it's so good, especially iced. Then my absolute favorite, gosh, either iced or hot, is it's their tea called Wakey Wakey, and it is, yeah, it's got yerba mate, green tea, ginger, licorice root, peppermint, and natural flavoring,
oh, wow.
And goji berries. It is
oh, that's
so
a good.
Good.
One. Goji berries, very good. I never read the labels to see if there's any. To me, I would think that you know there's just tea without natural flavors. But I'm not a big label reader because I can barely see anymore. I'd have to like bring my glasses with me everywhere I go.
Oh, that's just like my husband.
So let's...
No, that's yeah, but like so. Okay, so actually, Joanne, friend of the show, posted something that showed the list of teas that included pesticides and toxins. And the tea that I really liked, it was a Bigelow tea. I think they changed
it from
plantation
great.
Mint to perfect mint because plantation or whatever is racist. But
oh,
these are tea bags. And it was on the list of toxin in, you know, including ingredients. And so I'm like, shit, well, what do? I don't want to give up my tea. I loved it so much. I love mint tea. And so I went to Loose Leaf and I went to the organic and I'll never go back, honestly, because like when you really like look into what the what they put into tea bags, it's like a lot of times they say it's like the sweepings off the floor. It's not like the big, you know, full tea leaves anyway. So
right. And you know, they put so much effort in keeping us out of the products now. I open up a bag or a box and each individual tea bag was wrapped in the cellophane plastic that I had to use scissors to get into, which made me so irritated that I didn't want a cup of tea. I wanted a beer instead. And I was like, oh, my gosh, everything's got to be so – it's like if I can't get into this without throwing a fit, I'm not going to enjoy your product. But that's how they've done it. You used to be able to open, you know, get through the cellophane to get into the box, and then you have all the tea bags laid out. No, not anymore. And that just ruined it for me. And I got myself, I've been given gifts of those little tea balls that
mm-hmm.
you put your loose tea into, and I couldn't get them open. I actually ended up having to throw it away because it was hermetically sealed, and I just took to like putting the tea, the loose leaves into the water, and they go to the bottom and just doing it that way. And that works fantastic. So that I feel like I'm really natural when I do that, and I don't do it that often.
Yeah, Well, and I also, yeah, it's tea. Like a whole new world. Like with tea, like, I mean, as Americans, I think that like tea bags.
Why are we not tea drinkers? We're more coffee
drinkers. Well, because
drinkers.
We threw it all why into the bay, I think.
You see? Huh.
Yeah,
I wonder, because it was an English, it's a European thing more so. And they don't drink the coffee that we do. They do the tea in India.
Right.
In Europe.
Yeah.
And I'm just fascinated with how different and staunch we are in our little things. But there's a whole generation of kids that they don't even do the coffee. They do these energy drinks and these cold, fizzy drinks in the morning. And it's like, I could never get into doing that.
I have
they
to tell you that,
like a...
that before, I actually, I believe I was, I had COVID in 2019, and I think that part of the reason that I couldn't recover myself and I had to go in and have kidney surgeries, Dr. Burks even talked about that. Yeah, I had to have kidney surgeries because COVID does attack the kidneys, not just the lungs. I think it was because I was, I don't want to say addicted because I certainly stopped, but I really liked Red Bull and not the original Red Bull, but there's these flavors now that are like, almost taste like a, you know, the soda Squirt. Have you ever tried Squirt?
Oh yeah. That's a grapefruit. It's as a mixer for that's my fake margaritas. I'll mix that with tequila or bourbon is.
Oh,
Squirt.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that was never a kid's drink, but it was always there because the adults would add their booze to Squirt. But yeah, it's a grapefruit, citrus.
Right. And it's so good. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, and it's funny because I called it Yellow Bull instead of Red Bull because,
that's funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And I would probably have 2 a day, maybe sometimes 3 a day of these Red Bulls / Yellow Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And I've since stopped. I haven't had one since 2019. But you talked about like the cold carbonated. That was my go-to, was this energy drink. And so that was my experience. And honestly, I think they're deadly.
They are. And yeah, the closest thing, Mountain Dew is kind of like Squirt. It's a little
kind
more sweeter,
of, yeah.
I guess. But it's another one that people love to do that in the morning. I'm like, oh, no. But everyone has
different
tastes.
I read
like
something
this.
Somewhere that Mountain Dew actually has less carbonation so that you can drink it faster. That's kind of insidious.
That is insidious, isn't it? And it is. It's just,
yeah, of course.
It's poison to your body. Soda pop is not good for you. So, yeah, the natural teas. You can make a hot tea, any flavor you want, and then just throw a little bit of lemon and honey in it and pour it over ice and have a much better beverage that's really better for your body. And maybe that's why we don't as Americans. We're conditioned to have
the. Is it okay
the
if I finish
things.
Cutting this melon first?
Absolutely.
Sure
I'm almost done.
No worries. Oh,
I think
she's talking to her kids.
I think she might be talking to her kids. But I want some melon right now.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
I am so sorry. I thought I was muted. I really apologize.
That's okay.
It's okay, but I want some melon now.
Yes. Yes, please. And cut just so.
But it's interesting because, like, I've kind of gone, like, you know, a 180 because, you know, I really like tea. But like once you learn how to make tea, once you learn how like tea needs to be steeped at a certain temperature and for a certain amount of time, you know, all of these things,
really?
It's like green tea is one of these teas that's like, if you oversteep it or if you boil it, like you can't boil it. It has to be at 175 degrees or less, you know. But if you've ever had a glass, a cup of green tea that was bitter, it's because it was at too high of a temperature and or steeped for too long, you know. And
really?
So Yeah, it's crazy. It's like a whole science.
I would not have thought ever.
Yeah.
Ever
so,
in
like,
my life.
Right, I know. So I've made kind of a...
Boil water and add your tea and it's done.
Yeah, you can. Black tea's a little bit different, right? And like you hear about these teas that are like Earl Grey, right? Like these.
That's my favorite one. My favorite is the Earl Grey.
So I understand why you put.
Carcinogens in it.
Well, it's got something called bergamot. I might be mispronouncing it, but it's like this bitter citrus. This added mm-hmm. to this tea. And so when people are like, yeah, I like it with milk and honey, it's like, well, that's because there's an additive in it. And, you know, it may be a natural additive, but it's, it makes the tea bitter. It's an additive into the black tea that makes it bitter. And it's weird because it's something that we all love. I've got Earl Grey sitting in my tea collection.
Mm-hmm.
I hardly drink it because it's bitter and I don't like to add things to it. I like the teas that I have right now. Like I've got a pitcher of green tea, this gorgeous geisha, that there is zero sweetener besides the freeze-dried strawberries. You know, that's the only sweetener in there. And
mm-hmm.
honestly, if I added any sweetener to it, I don't know. It would be too overwhelming at this point, you know? So like same thing with this Wakey Wakey. I don't add any sweeteners or any additives to it at all because it's just good. If you can make it, you know, without this stuff, if you can make tea appropriately, you really don't have to add anything to it.
It's just, I love honey and lemon with my tea. That's how I like
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Even my chamomile. Like, I've got this chamomile tea.
I hate chamomile. It has no taste. It's like, I don't know. I've never been a fan of it, even though they say, oh, you'll sleep well and blah, blah, blah. But just, it doesn't have any oomph to it.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
No.
There's no caffeine to it, obviously. So what I do is I add dried fruit. So I do chamomile and dried fruit, and it's all herbal. But it tastes delicious. Like that's what I drink when I go to sleep.
Hmm.
It has to have additives. I think that has to have additives in my opinion.
Interesting. I kind of think that gave herbal tea a bad name because it just was like blah. And I think that might've turned people off of those because those are, I think the least selling of all the teas are the herbal teas.
Mm, yeah, that's true. My daughter has one that she loves. It's called mango cucumber, and it's just
Ooh.
Herbal. It's so good.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's so good. Because, you know, my kids don't drink caffeine.
Yeah.
I have sliced cucumbers for snacks every day, and my little guy... He always wants to know if I have watermelon. I said, no, I have cucumbers. He's like, why do I smell watermelon? I said, I don't know, but I that fresh smell, I think, is what he equates to it. Cucumbers are great. Really great.
I love cucumbers. I've actually been making, I'm trying to eat a little healthier, and I've been making a salad probably for a good couple months. That's chicken, cucumber, any kind of pepper besides green. I don't like green peppers, but like either red or orange peppers.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Feta cheese, olive,
Ooh, nice.
Like Kamala olive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And these little sesame sticks for like croutons. And then a little bit of Greek salad dressing or Italian salad dressing. I could just eat that all day, every day. It's so – oh, and tomatoes.
Yeah,
it's so good.
That sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yum, yum. What kind of melon were you slicing?
Honeydew.
Mm-hmm. I love honeydew.
I love honeydew melons. They're my favorite of all the melons.
Yeah. Mine is cold strawberry. I mean, sorry, watermelon.
Watermelon is amazing.
Cold. It's got to be cold.
I don't
for
buy
me.
It often, though, because it's hard to find watermelon that's not seedless, you know, and I don't want seedless GMO watermelon.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find them that are ripe. They're, you know, you're going to get them year round, but they're not good. Cantaloupe and honeydew are my go-to.
So good.
And generally speaking, cantaloupe, because honeydew is expensive. It's really good, but for some reason they want to charge you an arm and a leg for it. But, yeah, good stuff. Cantaloupe, he called them muskmelons. And he would have one every night. He'd cut one in half and then scoop the middle with vanilla ice cream. And that was his, and he never shared with nobody. Oh. That was his little dessert before he went to bed.
There's this, I think it's an Asian company that makes this honeydew popsicles that are to
oh wow
so good. They're nice. My absolute favorite ever.
We've got something similar in the Spanish stores. They're fruit
yes.
bars and they're fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it'll be ready. There's not one flavor that isn't great. And those are like $2 a pop, and they're worth every penny for those. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
I feel slightly...
I've been using my...
What's that?
I've been using my air fryer a lot because my oven stopped working. And so I don't know if it'll work, but we're going to see. Tonight, the girls wanted stuffed peppers for dinner. So I am going to attempt to cook the peppers with the air fryer. We'll see how it goes. I think it should work okay. I mean, it allows me to set it. You know, it won't go over 400, but it'll go up to 400 degrees, and then I can time how long I want it to go. But I got it for $10 on the marketplace, and it's a nice big air fryer. Olivia laughs at it and says it looks like an alien egg, but it works so far. So I'm grateful to have it when the oven's being weird.
I love air fryers. We had an air fryer and we used it until it broke. Like my husband actually dropped, like was cleaning the tray and dropped it and broke it. And we haven't replaced it yet, but I loved my air fryer and the Instant Pot. Do you have an Instant Pot?
I do not have an Instant Pot.
Oh my God. Look for it on the marketplace.
Crockpot is what I've gotten. I've never seen an air fryer or eaten out of one, so I don't know. I don't have an opinion either way. I'm still the old fashioned.
Don't try to like fry chicken in an air fryer, or if you can fry chicken in an air fryer, you're a better man than I am, because mine didn't turn out great. But like that was the only thing that I screwed up in an air fryer. Instant Pot is a crock pot on steroids. It's like something you can do for, you know, in 8 to 10 hours in a crock pot. You can do in an hour in an Instant Pot. I use it.
Oh, wow.
I'm saying 2 to 3 times a week I use my Instant Pot. It is the best thing I ever stole from my mother. She never used it. Somebody gifted it to her. So I'm like, I'll take it. And it has been the most amazing thing ever. Look up, there's a YouTube channel called six, Sister Stuff. And and they do Instant Pot recipes that are amazing. Amazing. And then there's this also this gay Jewish man, I think it's called Pressure Luck, he's got amazing recipes. His carnitas, weird that a gay Jewish man is not kosher, but I don't think being gay is kosher either. I digress. But he makes the most amazing carnitas. I have, you know, even my mom, that was the recipe I made for Christmas this year, was the carnitas. And she was like, like she couldn't get enough. It's
so good.
It's pot roast. Yeah.
No, carnitas is pork.
I know, but that is my grandmother's pork pot roast from Sundays. I love when people will cook for me, and I'll go to the store, and they have the carnitas already cooked, and they'll have the soups cooked. And they cook them. They start them Friday night, and it cooks all through the night, and they sell it for on a Saturday. They cook the old-fashioned way, but that's basically a pot roast. Just falls apart. It's just the best.
Yes, absolutely.
But there's something about cooking, and when you speed up the cooking, to me it's like it takes away from it. I mean, the part of cooking your food is an enjoyable thing where you put it on and it's an all day thing and it's just nice. But to expedite that, I think it's just wrong.
Well, if we ever meet in person, Elizabeth, I will cook you some carnitas, and you will know that it's not wrong.
Mm. Oh, they got them down the street from me. They're fantastic. And it's like they have them on sale on Tuesdays, $3.99 a pound. And I'll get a couple pounds, and I'll make the best sandwiches out of them. It's the best. And I'm just thinking, this is exactly what we used to have on Sundays because it just falls apart. It smells the same. It's great. Good stuff. But they put it on and they cook it. They have, I don't know. There's just certain, I don't know. We've gotten to where we just love to do everything, have it instantly at our fingertips. And there's something to be said about cooking and getting together as a family and enjoying the whole process of the Sunday meal. And, you know, granted, like here, throughout the week, this is how it was. It was like, you cooked Saturday and Sunday, and then you ate the leftovers for a few days, and then you'd have, like, maybe spaghetti or some kind of thrown together. It wasn't the best meal. And then, again, on the weekends, you'd have these great cooked dinners. And that's kind of how we lived. And now we want, like, everything, you know, thankfully they're coming back. The restaurants are really coming back in droves. But people are going and wanting these full-blown meals every week instead of cooking at home, which, you know, God mm-hmm. bless them if they can afford it. But it was a community, you know, part of cooking the eating ritual wasn't just to survive, it was a community thing. And we kind of like, when you just can pick it up and don't eat it, and, you know, eat in your car and drive, it's like you just kind of lose, I think we've lost a tidbit of our humanity living that way. We're wanting everything quickly and without, you know, sort of. That's why I think that microwaves and these new gadgets you have, I think they're the devil, and I don't have them in my house.
not wanting a microwave in your house. I've got one, but I understand that. I understand, you know, not wanting to expose yourself to radiation and so forth. But an Instant Pot is just steam.
You know, it was because it tasted terrible. It wasn't good cooking. It wasn't so much. You know, we knew, like, when we put a bag of popcorn, this is great. The microwave we got my grandmother back when I was 16, and I'm almost 60. It was like this new contraption they brought in for her. It was huge, like a console TV. It took up the whole kitchen. And we're like, what are we going to do with this? And I was like, why don't you make bacon? And we're like, oh, we can make bacon in the cast iron. But we tried the bacon, right, on the paper towel. And they're like, well, you can make popcorn. Really? How do you do it? Well, put it in the brown bag, and then we put a twist tie on it. Well, the twist tie created lightning inside the microwave, and that's one of the
metal.
And it almost broke it, right? But it was actual lightning storm, and it was like, oh, holy cow! But we really didn't even pay attention to the fact that these microwaves were intense and could probably hurt us. It was more of, this is a contraption that really nothing. Everything we can make is better on the stove, and that's kind of where it went. Now, I guess I am vindicated, where it's just not healthy, and there's a reason why your food doesn't really taste that good, because it's cooking from, is it from the inside out? It's probably cooking?
Yeah.
Or is it the opposite? Is it the opposite?
Yeah, from the inside out, from the middle.
Yeah, and it's just, but that wasn't
no,
the
and
reason.
You're right. And, you know, so Dr. Judy Wood, she's a doctor in engineering and chemistry. She's got a whole bunch of degrees. And she actually talked about directed energy weapons. She's the first one that introduced me to directed energy weapons. And how she described it was a mix between microwave and – was it not kinetic? Microwave and maybe kinetic energy. And basically she said that, like, you know, if you put a piece of – if you put a paper towel in the microwave, it's not going to burn, you know. But if you put a paper plate and a piece of chicken on top of it, the chicken will cook, but the paper plate won't, right? So it's just a different kind of energy, you know, that, you know, I guess it's, what is it, but microwave and oh God, it's not kinetic. It's microwave and metallic. Oh gosh, I don't remember, but I'll think of it.
It's radiation. It's low grade radiation, and it kills any of the good enzymes that are in your food. Not only does
right.
it not,
well, most people
does.
You know, so it was like a double, and people were like, "Well, I don't care because I don't have time." And I was like, "Okay."
Yeah.
And people still get so mad.
Yeah, it's magnetic.
I won't eat anything. I won't eat anything. If it's been in the microwave, I don't want it because it tastes yucky. Basically,
yeah,
and I get these stares of like, why are you so fucking difficult? Why? You've never grown out of your terrible twos. It's like, just because it's just it is. But it's it's radiation. It's radiation, low grade radiation, I believe.
Yeah,
the microwaves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love you guys so much. I have to go because I have a client session, but I just wanted to tell you that I love you and have a great week, and it's a wonderful conversation.
Oh,
before
we love
you,
Lily.
I love you too, but real quick, what did you feel with the Venus Jupiter alignment? I saw it the first night. Well, not even the first night, but I saw it when they were both together, like kissing. It was the most inspiring, coolest thing, and it just like brought such good energy in my life. And the next day, when it flipped, I couldn't believe it flipped from being side by side to one on top of the other. And I didn't feel the same type of magic. So what do you know about that?
The magic was really good. We couldn't see, there's a lot of like planets that we can't actually see, and they were all aligned. And it's never happened that way in more than 1,000 years where all of them have been, like if you could see all of them with a naked eye, you know, like they were all in a straight line together. Never happened.
I saw the Palladium,
it was magnificent energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was great energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of prophecy, you know, like they talk about the planets kissing and about the straight line and forming almost like an arrow and how that is like pointing the way to our ascension and, you know, like reminding us of how close we are to ascending, or if you are a Christian, to a rapture. You know, it all means the same thing, but just different people use different words. And so I was really excited about it. The next night was weird because it almost felt to me like they were, you know, like the bloodlines or something had done something with holograms or something to make it look weird because it felt weird and it looked weird. And I was watching it, and the planets, like, you know, were very slowly moving, which doesn't happen, you know, like they don't move in a way that we like watch them like move while we're looking at them. And that was happening. And then they were gone. And so it made me feel like they might've covered it up with one of their, like holograms.
I wonder. It was, and then the next day, I think it was the next day they had opened up that tomb in Egypt. And I was running high on this, like, magical, amazing energy. I was nice and spreading love everywhere. And then the next day, it was a letdown, and I still felt good. And then the next day, it was like the portals from fucking hell had opened up, and it was the worst fucking day. And unbelievable, and I was evil. And then I found out that they opened up that tomb, and I'm just like, oh, God, that's too fucking weird. But, the fact that I couldn't believe that they had changed that much, like they just flip-flopped, and nothing was I felt the same way.
Aww.
That's interesting.
Okay, Lily, we love you so much. I don't want to keep you, past your point here, but we love you. Please call back anytime, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, I love you both so much, too, and I hope you have a really blessed week.
Thank you.
Love you, babe. I did want to keep her forever and ever because she's so smart on these things.
I love her so much. I know. I always.
She is. Yeah. Yeah, that was more what I was like, because there's like so many amazing, huge things going on that they don't even want us to know. They don't want us to know anything of what's going on with the constellations and the planetary movements and how it affects us, and they just don't. They want us talking about this ridiculous shit all the time in this way.
I know. And so here, the planetary alignment here, like, it's weird. Like, we've had a lot of cloudy days, right? So weren't maybe able to see the kiss. But to me, it's been like one on top of the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was amazed that I could see it. Just outside of, it was right there out of my window. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is, it was amazing. And then I looked out, and every star was out, every constellation. And I'm like, this is amazing, because we are always sprayed over, and I have no idea what goes on. And it was almost a magical evening. And it's a damn shame that this is not common knowledge. We know absolutely nothing about it. And who was talking? Oh, Wooly was last week about how the moon had flipped. And it's like, that should be that should be hot news. It really should, if we lived in the right kind of world. Because there are, we have plenty of astronomers and plenty of people. I mean, these huge telescopes we have everywhere. They should at least be giving us tidbits of something, reasons of why, just to feed us. Here's a crumb, but they don't even want to give us a crumb. And then I guess, here, is anybody looking out their window? No, because they're watching TV. So nobody even is aware of the fact that we're missing out on this stuff, which is really sad indeed.
Yeah, it is. But a lot of times we can't even see it because of the city lights and all of these things,
Well, that's why I couldn't believe it. They were so bright. And honestly, they looked as if they were just like diamonds of pyramids, two pyramid triangles on top. That's what they looked like. And they'd flicker out a little bit, and then you just could see the red. And I thought, oh, no, don't go away. And then the light would come back, and then the glow of this pyramid. It was amazing. It really was. It was the coolest thing. And I'm so glad that whatever it was brought me out of my chair into the window to see that, because I have given up long ago. I'm even thinking about looking up to see what was going on, because it's always dreary and yucky. Oh, my gosh. And
okay,
those are the things.
Interesting story.
The
other day, yesterday, it was yesterday, I was driving with my son, and I see, like, very close together chemtrails going up, right? Right next to each other. And then I was like, oh, God, look at that, to my son. Oh, look. And then these two planes turned into three planes. And I was like, oh, my God, what is that in the sky? What's going on? And I'm, like, slowing down, taking pictures. And then all of a sudden, these now two planes that turned into three completely disappeared. The chemtrails, but these three planes or whatever they were just completely disappeared. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I'm so glad I had a witness. I don't know what's going on.
Well, there was a video that came through from, I believe it was in Utah, that they captured something like that. And they've been capturing a lot of weird, weird things like that in the sky. And every time one of those comes through, I'm thinking, well, this is just Project Bluebeam, you know, that they're trying to pull one over on us with this crazy stuff. But it's happening all over the place and all over the world. And I'm just... You know, it's hard to tell if it's a natural occurrence that, you know, something out there is trying to make themselves known, or if because of all the propaganda that's being put out. Like, all of a sudden, of all these years, you know, 70 years of trying to cover up the fact that anything other than a weather balloon was found in Roswell, the government is, you know, spewing all this UPAs, you know, and you know, the political correctness of having to change the term UFO to UAP is just crazy. But now they want us to be aware and yet afraid of this next impending, you know, terrible thing that's going to happen. On top of, you know, I'm getting really pissed off at this never-ending storm that we're having that, you know, is like weather warfare. And we were under this threat of this huge storm that never came. And everybody's freaking out, and we're shopping, and we're bitching because, you know, school was out that day, but several schools were in, and it's like they just want us to get caught in the, in an ice storm again. And it's kind of, why can't you just listen to the news and let us all stay home and be safe? Like, you know, with the corona. No.
Right.
Everybody's calling from... You know, the state of Illinois, IDOT, is calling for please stay off the roads. We're going to go to school, no problem. And it just pisses me off. But it never came. And it just made me think of, here it is, another, you know, day of stress that you go through and worrying and being in fear of something that never came to be. And it's like, but don't you orchestrate? Don't you know when these things are coming? All of a sudden, we decided not to do it. But we wanted you to all be freaked out. And it's this never-ending stream of fear, 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 fear. And the same thing with this, what's in the sky, is we should not be in awe of, like, oh, my God, how cool is this? And what could that be? And just be in magnificent awe of the sky and the different clouds and whatnot. We lost that, and now we're, like, in fear because they put that fear in the back of our head that invaded by, are they friendly or are they not? You know, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this program of everything is fear-based, and you can't have that natural inspiration and natural awe of just the beauty of something that might be amazing. You know, who knows what it is. Like the Aurora Borealis, you know, that's
right.
Gorgeous. But if you want to go back into the 1800s, 1700s, where it's, those are demons, you know, it's almost like that's the where we're living.
Witchcraft, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And that's just like, wow, check it out. No, it's evil. It's going to get you. And that's what they got everything. And I'm just like, I've grown weary of you people.
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's a little bit different with you guys because you guys actually have, you know, normal weather patterns. We don't. We hardly ever get any kind of... weather, but like, I mean, good luck. You guys are going to get buried in a second. You know that, right?
Well, you know who's really living the dream is Wyoming and Colorado. In 2 seconds, you've got 18 feet of snow. And that's one of the reasons I'm like, I don't think I do want to move out there because that's a bit much for me. But yeah, it's, some of the pictures I've seen, it's just unbelievable the amount of snow that has hit them, and even out by you. And that's just like, you know, the you know, when people were talking about how people are trapped in their homes without medical supplies. And half of me
it sounds like COVID.
We have to stop. Exactly. But you would think that after all of that, nobody would be stuck short ever. You would have a surplus of everything you need. And you still have people who are living day to day with, oh, just go out to the store and I have nothing in the house and I have no insulin or whatever the hell it is they need. You need to take a certain level of responsibility to have a certain amount of things in your house for in case if it rains or whatever natural disaster. But to be buried in 18 feet of snow, it's like, didn't you know that you should have things in your house? And I'm like, wow, we're still living like that. And it blows my mind. But it also blows my mind that much snow fell all at one time. And I'm like, God, that's not natural. Do you think
not all at one time. It's been through, what, December, January, February, now March. Like, it's been like a whole, a whole season of snow here. Mm-hmm. And we need it. That's definitely.
We certainly do. But I've seen some pictures of people that are just like, you know, the snow is deeper than their house. And I'm like, holy Jesus.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I really do think that it is part of the never-ending campaign to have you in a certain state of, you know, throwing you off of balance. You can never get where you're, like, having a good day, feeling good, because there's fear in the air. And,
yeah.
And Peggy called it a video on this, on weaponized weather. And I thought, well, I'm glad everybody seems to be waking up to the fact that this is being put out. And if you think about it, why? Well, it's another form of control. Because it can't, you know, keep us afraid of the elusive coronavirus that, and I forgot about that. But you can be asymptomatic. That was like the most ridiculous fucking thing ever, and we fell for that. But you can't.
I did not see really that Peggy Hall. I'll have to go back and watch it. She's amazing.
She is. I love her so much. I love her. If she would ever come on and talk with us, that would be a treat.
She's
so shadow banned, though. It's hard to find her, and it really is a shame. And just that in itself is like, is she public enemy number one? Well, you would think so, because now you can't find her anywhere. What a terrible thing to want to be a healthy American and have, you know, you're right.
Does she still have her YouTube?
No. I think she does. And I think that might have been I think she got her own TV thing because she got tired with everybody. She was getting deplatformed everywhere. And she has a pay-to-watch program kind of deal that she got.
Mm.
So I think it's a subscriber-only platform, which has relegated her even farther away from the public side, which is a shame. But she felt that that would at least keep her from not being kicked off. Like everybody went to Rumble and such things, but I think she has her own TV. And I don't quite know how that works. But I know that if it's not free, I can't watch it. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I don't know.
We need more of her.
We do.
It looks like, okay,
and
I'm looking it up now. She does still have a YouTube.
Let's see. Cool.
But, you know, it's just like Jimmy Dore and Russell Brand. They can't really say anything without, saying, oh, well, everything I'm saying is fake. So, but here we go.
Well, she's, you know, she loves to call it hogwash, the hogwash. That's how she gets around it. But the nice thing about her is that she kind of led the way for everyone else to know that it's okay. And, you know, she has a whole tribe of healthy Americans that are homeschooling and making their own businesses and getting away from the control system. And I think that that in itself is why she's such a danger, is because she enabled people to live in their own power. And unfortunately, there's so many of us that have caught on to this that it's like you cannot hold the tsunami of free thinking and free living Americans down. And you know, so when you go and go into the comments section of any one of these state-funded, like I'll have Biden comes through my feed and the Washington whatever, or an ad for a vaccine or a hospital. You go into the section on the comments, and it is just inundated with people who are just calling out the bullshit. And I'm like, oh, this is the most interesting I've ever seen. And I would think that at some point they would shut off the comment section, but they didn't, because it's just full of people calling out the bullshit. And it's like you can't put the genie back in the bottle, which is, to me, the most inspiring and piece of good news there is that as much as the propaganda machine keeps spewing out their bullshit, we're not buying it. And the emperor has no clothes, baby.
Absolutely.
It's
funny. Yesterday I had a 5-hour debate with CNN viewers. My civic duty.
I saw that. I would just be, I don't have the patience for that. I don't know how you can, you must thrive upon that.
Well, it's my civic duty, you know, to inform the uninformed. And, and it was very interesting too, because like there's so much information out there now that it's hard for them to comprehend. It's hard for them to debate it. You know what I mean? Like the biggest thing that they had was I shared a link to a Washington Post article from that Dr. Nguyen, the one who was very much a COVID skeptic at the beginning, or not a skeptic, but a proponent, you know, saying all of these things that we should, you know, make it uncomfortable for people to live if they didn't get the COVID shot, you know, you know, that one, you know.
The good German, the nice Nazi.
Yeah, but she did a 180, right? And it's like, well, my kid is you know, delayed now in speech because of masks. And, and then she posts one about dying of COVID versus with COVID, right? And how the numbers are overcounted. And, and of course, like the big pushback from the CNN viewer base was, well, the WAPO article you shared was an opinion piece, you know, and it's like, okay, fine, except the opinion came from a doctor, you know, a current medical doctor, practicing doctor, you know, and so what's the flaw in that? And not only that, but like the two clips that we shared today, again, of Dr. Birx and Dr. Ezeki, I shared those clips as well. And the only pushback that they could give was that it was an opinion piece that I shared from a doctor, would not acknowledge the Dr. Ezeki clip that I shared. And then also, it's a total conspiracy theory that anybody got labeled that died of a gunshot wound as COVID. do better. They say do better because, you know, I said that gunshot wounds, you know, people died of gunshot wounds and they were labeled as COVID deaths. That's still off limits to these people. They still don't believe that these kinds of facts are real. They still won't believe it, even though I feel like I won the debate, you know, and I shared probably 6 articles after that, you know, oh, nobody got listed as a COVID death that died of a gunshot wound. Do better. And then I listed at least half a dozen articles that showed that COVID deaths, gunshot wounds were listed as COVID deaths. So there's still some pushback. And so earlier today, earlier in the show, you said, you know, why are we even focusing on this? Well, I think it's because there are still some very basic facts out there that these people don't understand or, you know, possibly will never understand. And I hope that we can change minds.
Well, the thing is that all the news is opinion-based, basically. There is no news anymore, really. Not many of them. And as long as the opinion is that the government narrative is correct and conspiracy theories, theorists, and Trump supporters, and what's the other one they love to – I think those are the two. That's their argument, is that – Is the name calling, you know?
Yeah.
That's not.
I get called a flat earther usually.
Oh, really? I didn't know that that was a thing anymore.
Well, exactly. It's like when they want to just, you know, disregard you, they say, oh, if you've got this opinion on a completely separate subject, you must be a flat earther. You must believe that the election was stolen. You know, they go off on these tangents. Like, you know, the art of debate is completely lost, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is, it is so 1930s Germany, you know, the demonizing and the name-calling. That's how Hitler won Poland, you know, and that's why you still have Polak jokes. Because he demonized an entire nation, you know, along and then the Jews, and that's the fine art of trying to demonize your enemy without any basis of fact or rational thoughts. My God, you would think we still are in the Dark Ages, so they want to bring the Dark Ages back. Apparently.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I don't know. I personally just don't have the energy. I refuse to let that type of environment steal my energy because it exasperates me. I just don't have the energy to waste upon someone who doesn't want to be saved. I'm going to let them drown, and I'm going to try to encourage those that want to live. That's where my energy is going. You know, I told my little guy when I was on fire, I was just like witnessed a spiritual awakening looking at those two glistening pyramids, like diamonds. They weren't diamonds. They were pyramids, on top of these planets in the sky. And I told my little guy on the bus, I was like, how proud I am of him and how, little guys like him are going to grow up and you're going to be the ones that are going to save the world. And he goes, how are we going to save the world? I said, one smile at a time. And I was just like,
how do they see your smile if you've got a mask on, you know? That's in that.
We don't
I think
do that anymore though.
Right.
Yeah, we're not in the land of hell like that anymore. There's people who want to wear them, and they're kind of few and far in between. I don't see them in my real life, more so when I go to the grocery store for some reason. But that's not even an issue, thank God. And it's kind of like we'd love to bring you back into the real world, where everyone is you know, safe. We're all safe. You see, we're all walking around like human beings, smiling at each other. And then here comes these crazy people with the masks and the spray bottles. And it's
yeah.
kind of like, just kind of stay away from them, because I don't think there's anything that can be done for them. And if anything, they are the loose cannon that I want to stay away from, because I don't know when they're going to snap. That's my opinion of that. And that almost is, I don't know, along with all the other bizarre behavior, it's kind of like, I was talking to somebody, I was like, we used to joke years ago that if only you could get a tattoo, if we would know crazy people by their little tattoo on their forehead, it would save us so much time and energy and grief by having to deal with them before we realize that they're crazy and dangerous. Because there's always been crazy people, always,
yeah.
no matter what. And I don't know. But now it's more apparent. It's kind of like, here's your red flag. And it's like, oh, I'm walking the other way.
Yeah.
So that was the only real benefit.
Now they wear it on their face.
Exactly. And it's kind of like, I kind of always kind of knew you were a little nuts, and this nails it. This confirms my opinion, my thoughts and opinions. I mean, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. I'm scrolling here, see if there's anything interesting. You know, here what popped up, you're talking about Hollywood, and I think it's kind of cool that now, you know, it seemed to me when this first started that they were able to continue this charade of deception, that we need to follow their protocol. And to me, it's a demonic ritual, this constant hand washing, the masks, the standing, pulling back. And people still do that. And I'm like, do I stink? Do I smell? Do I got bad breath? No, they've just been conditioned to not be too close to you when they're talking. I'm like, oh, this is so bad. This is all so sad. But it was pushed further with our celebrities. And the ones that seem to come through the Facebook feed were like the Kevin Bacon's and the who else? But this one I stumbled upon, and I liked him, but now I'm like, God, Lord, he's crazy, crazy liberal. Mandy Patinkin. And during the COVID thing, I guess his son started videotaping them, and they were kind of amusing, but they're just such wild, crazy liberals and COVIDiots to the nth degree that you're just like, wow, I don't like you anymore. But they're interesting to watch. And so they pop through here. And that whole – and Tom Cruise. Remember Tom Cruise went absolutely fucking nuts on his set and assaulted all his staff because they weren't wearing masks. He's going to shut the whole movie down. What a crazy man he turned out to be. And he's always been crazy, but then this just like personified how crazy he is. And the fact that they are one of the last industries to still live in this crazy world. It's kind of cool that, and ironic too, that the ones that are speaking out are the ones that don't really have a career anymore. I mean, I haven't seen Fran Drescher in anything in forever, or Woody Harrelson for that matter. So they're not like bought and paid for by the industry to keep this cult culture going. But I think that the nurses, I mean, they're winning their cases in the Supreme Court left and right, which is fantastic.
Yes.
And getting their jobs back. So that's like, yay, that's a God wins moment. And eventually that will come down to where, you know, we as people and I have to go to the dentist, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, I don't want to deal with this, because I have a feeling that he's crazy and probably has all these masking bullshit. And I'm like, I'm just not dealing with this. Well, now I do have to, because my crown fell out, and I'm like, fuck, I can't live.
I'm not even going to get started on the OSHA, you know, 10 years of clinical dental OSHA training.
I know, but
listen, we have – hold on. We've got a caller.
Oh,
so, caller, if you want to press 1
yeah.
to speak, we only have about 5 minutes left. So welcome if you're just here to listen. Oh, hold on. We've got a live one here. Hold on.
Awesome.
Hey there. I managed
hey.
I set up an account. This is Zach Attack. How are you guys going?
Oh,
we're good.
And I saw a piece that Barbara Walters did an interview with him, and apparently his father went to prison for killing someone, and she asked him about the rumor if his father was a CIA asset, and he said, yes, I know he is.
Oh, no shit.
Interesting. And you know what I keep seeing over and over again is the children of people in the CIA appear to are candidates for manipulation, let's say that. And would you do that to your children? But then again, the people who are in the CIA are wackos and are recruited as wackos. I mean, I know people that that understand, you know, have that. I was always taught that, you know, in kind of security studies, that the CIA has been known to recruit the wacko people. So would you put your own children in you know,
Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison's dad was.
That's the 77 Club. You know, that's a whole different show.
But it's interesting that
hold on until next time.
Their children are put into the limelight, and it's like, interesting.
Yeah, Project Monarch.
You know,
Monarch.
Yeah,
is that what it's called.
Yeah,
you know,
so
Obama's parents. Judge Brown talking about Obama's parents. Holy cow. I mean, he's dotting the I's and crossing the T's, that man is.
It is fascinating. And it's like, we want to say, who are the influencers and where do they come from and why are they influencers? And then you're like, who's really operating the industrial complex of the military arm of the entertainment industry? Because that's basically kind of what that has been, is another form of crowd control. And it's fascinating when you think about that.
And maybe Woody Harrelson is doing this for nefarious reasons. Maybe he's broken out of his programming. We don't really know, which is why, you know, when people talk about controlled opposition, it's you know, there is controlled opposition, but I think as, you know, us as awake individuals, we need to be able to see through the lies and take the truths for what they are.
And look at how it was done. I was very disappointed with the fact that he basically painted himself as a crazy druggie and tried to tell us something poignant, but self-depreciatingly did it. And I was like, oh, Jesus. And now look at how the backlash of this is, that here's his assessment of the situation, and no one can really take it seriously because now we're, you know, it's almost as if anybody who wants to think this is crazy, because look, he's crazy. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, that's my assessment of the situation. So controlled opposition. Probably. What do you think, Zach?
Always difficult to tell. This is the kind of a question about if you have someone who's doing that within your own movement, you know, and my answer, I had this kind of conversation the other day, and my answer is that you always stay close to your values. It doesn't change what you do. You never create paranoia in your organization because then you've paralyzed your own organization, mission accomplished for people who are, you know, so you never do the heavy lifting for them, state for them, you know, and you always stay positive, you have to be accountable. And that is probably a very important value anyway for an organization, as an organization and the people, you know. So at the end of the story, if the people are trying to wreck it and push things sideways, you have to hold those folks accountable too, you know. But I have seen organizations melt down over using ethnic wedges and irreconcilable differences. And so you always have to challenge things that aren't irreconcilable, that will never work out, that are flawed.
Zach, I hate to cut you off, but we're at 10 seconds now. So, you know, thank you for calling, Elizabeth. You're my rock as always. Love you all. Please share this if you can. and we'll talk to you next week.
Call back at 7:30 tomorrow or next week, Zach. I love you. Bye-bye.
Ciao.